This is Joe Garagiola, along with George Kett, welcoming you to the seventh game of the 1962 World Series. This is it. Forget the rest of the season. Forget the playoffs, the averages, what you did in this ballpark, that ballpark. It's all wrapped up today. And it'll be Ralph Perry for the Yankees and Jack Sanford for the San Francisco Giants. Sky is high here. There's not a cloud in the sky. And it's going from left field to right field. And they will be skating towards the right field line. Now, this broadcast is authorized under broadcasting rights granted by the Commissioner of Baseball solely for the entertainment of our listening audience. And any publication, rebroadcast, or other use of the descriptions and accounts of this game without the express consent of the Commissioner is prohibited. The grass has been cut in the outfield. Yesterday, it was not cut in the outfield. It was still a bit damp. The ground crew couldn't get out there, but they were able to work on it. And this ground crew, you certainly have to tip your hat to them. They have really been putting in the extra hours, extra work, and extra detail to get this field in the great shape that it is. The outfield grass is cut, and that was another thing that the outfielders were concerned about. Just how would that ball react once it scooted off that grass? It's a little bit faster than it was yesterday, but not that much, is the way the ball players were saying it. The thing that is bothering the outfielders more than anything is the wind. The lineup for this big seventh game of the World Series for the Yankees is the same lineup that Ralph Houck has been using throughout the series. Kubrick leads off at shortstop. Batting second is the second baseman, Bobby Richardson. Batting third, it's the left fielder, Tom Trace. Trace in left field. Batting fourth, it's the center fielder, Mickey Mantle. Mantle in center field. Batting fifth, the right fielder, Roger Maris. Maris in right field. Batting sixth, the catcher, Elson Howard. Howard the catcher. Batting seventh, it's Moose Stallon, the first baseman. Stallon at first base. Batting eighth, it's the third baseman, Cletus Boyer. Boyer at third base. And batting ninth, it's the pitcher, Ralph Perry. For the San Francisco Giants, leading off is Philippe Alou, A-L-O-U, Philippe Alou in right field. Batting second, the second baseman, Chuck Hiller. Hiller, the second baseman. Batting third, the center fielder, Willie Mays. Mays in center field. Batting fourth, the left fielder, McCovey. Willie McCovey in left field. Batting fifth, the first baseman, Orlando Cepeda. Cepeda at first base. Batting sixth is the catcher, Haller. Tom Haller, the catcher. Batting seventh, the third baseman, Jim Davenport. Davenport at third base. Batting eighth, it's the shortstop, Jose Pagan. Pagan the shortstop. And batting ninth, it's the pitcher, Jack Sanford. Sanford against Ralph Perry. Both ball clubs certainly teed up for this ball game. That has to be the understatement of the year. How do you get up? Get up any more for the ball game than these ball clubs have for this one? The Giants, they've been counted out 900 times during the regular season. They kept coming back, coming back. This whole series has been one of really alternating victories. That's the way it's been. The Yankees won the first game by the score of 6-2. The Giants came back to win the second one, 2-0. The Yankees won the third game, 3-2. The Giants won the fourth game, 7-3. The Yankees won the fifth game, 5-3. And yesterday, the Giants won it behind Billy Sears, 5-2. And today, this is it. One whole year wrapped up in one ball game. The umpires just making their way out, coming down that first baseline. Manager Ralph Houck of the New York Yankees comes out of their dugout from the third base side, ready to hand them the lineup cards. Whitey Loughlin, a coach for manager Alvin Dark, hands in the Giant lineup. The Big Stan Landis will be the plate umpire. So the stage is set. Sanford against Perry. Jack Sanford on the mound, does a little of the work that the groundskeeper's been doing for a couple of days. He digs a favorite spot on the pitching slab. Pitchers like to do it. Hitters like to do it in the batter's box to find that comfortable spot. And John Carroll, I can't imagine that until you get that first ground ball and get hit by that first foul tip, it's going to be a little tough to get comfortable for a game like this because those butterflies certainly have to be flying around. There's no doubt about it, Joe. I was down on the field before the ball game, as you were, and the ball players seemed to be a relaxed group of athletes, but They cannot be that relaxed here today in this all-important seventh ball game. As you said a moment ago, the entire season is wrapped up into one ball game here today. A lot of these fellas have been through it before, some of them going through it for the first time, but the tension has got to be the same for everybody. This is it, and they all feel it. And I think this feeling even prevails through this tremendous crowd here today, as the Giants taking the field just a moment ago. They let out a tremendous roar, of course, for the hometown team, but they feel the tension right here in the stands. Tony Cuba stepping in to lead off for the Yankees here in the first inning. Stanford gets ready, and here's the first pitch of the ball game. He tries to bunt, and he misses. One strike to Cuba. Tony has a .280 batting average. He's been to the plate 25 times, and he has 7 hits. Tony has no home runs. He's batted in 1 run. This will be the third meeting in this series between Stanford and Terry. They've won one game each. Stanford won here in Candlestick and Ralph back in New York. A pitch to Kubek. Outside, a fastball off the corner. One ball, one strike. In the first two ball games at Stanford pitch, he was behind the batters a lot, but he didn't walk many, coming in with a 2-0 pitch. Most of the time with good pitches. Here's the pitch. Outside, another fastball to miss the corner. Ball two and strike one. It'll be Kubek, Richardson, and Tommy Trace for the Yankees here in the first inning. The seventh game of the 1962 World Series. Stanford ready. A 2-1 pitch. Here's a fly ball. It's the center field. Willie Mays moving in. He's there and he makes the catch. Tony Kubek out on a fly to center. That'll bring up the second baseman, Bobby Richardson. Bobby's a right-handed batter. He has a .160 batting average. 4 hits and 25 trips in the series. He has no home runs, no runs batted in. Giants playing straight away and not too deep. Everybody's going to play shallow in left field today. Here's a pitch to Bobby. Ball, it's inside, a curveball. Missed the corner. One ball and a strike. Willie McCovey is in left field for the Giants. Mays in center, and Philippe Alou playing in right field today. Stanford into the windup. Here's a 1-0 pitch. Curve down low. Got this one over the plate, but too low. Ball two and a strike. Stanford didn't like the call on it too much. Stopped and looked in to Stan Lambert. Just on the first two hitters, George, you might be able to get a pattern. And through nothing but fastball to Kubek, nothing but curve to Richardson. Here's the pitch. It's down low. A fastball low and in. 3-0 to Bobby. Tommy Trace, the left fielder, is waiting in the on-deck circle. Yankees batting in the first inning with one out and no one on. A ball three and a no-strike count. And he's taking a little time. Gets ready. Here's the pitch. Down low, he walks in. Bobby Richardson draws a walk. He'll put a runner at first base with one out. And the batter will be Tom Trace, the left fielder. Tommy's batting average posted at .333 for this series. He's hit in 24 trips. Tommy has one home run and 4 runs batted in. A home run, a 3-run homer coming against Stanford at Yankee Stadium. Trace is a quick batter. He's batting left-handed against Stanford. Here's the pitch. Right, he got a fastball on the outside corner. Davenport is playing in close at third. Jimmy's about even with the bag. Cepeda holds against the runner at first. And both Pagan and Diller have moved in a couple of steps. They are cheating on the double play. Here's the one strike pitch. Outside. This one just off the corner. Stanford is aiming everything for the outside part of the plate to be left-handed batters. One ball and one strike. Got a couple of spots that will help him out if he can get him to hit that ball into left field, because left center field is going to be a real tough job to hit one out of here the way that wind is blowing. Stanford checks his runner. Here's the 1-1 pitch. He swings and hits a pop fly behind third. Davenport is chasing it. He's over near the stands and he makes the shot. Making a fine play as he stayed with that high pop fly, caught it and crashed into the barrier. The But it's two down, and the batter will be Mickey Mantle. George, remember in the ball game over here, the second one, Tom Haller made some fine catches with some small ball this day in play. Anything that's hit towards the third base line, you better chase it because it'll blow back in play. Mantle with an 0.91 batting average. He's been to the plate 22 times. He has two hits. Mickey has no home runs in this series, no runs batted in. He's batting left-handed against Sanford. Here's a quick throw to first. Richardson back in town. Bobby at first base with two outs here in the first inning. There's no score. Sanford gets that. The pitch to Mantle. Ball, it's down low. One ball and no strike. Some of the riders were sitting house on the bench before the ball game about using the same lineup every day. Ralph said, one thing I found out early in my managing career is go with the best you have every day. Don't shuffle the lineup around. Just put the best you've got in there and play them. One ball, no strikes. The pitch to Mickey. Strike. He got a fastball over. Right down the middle of that one. The Giants are deep and around to the right for Mantle. A bright, sunshiny afternoon. A strong breeze blowing in from left field. We said before, the wind normally quiet here until about 3 o'clock, but today it started moving in about 10 o'clock this morning. Here's the pitch to Mickey. He swings and hits a high fly ball to left field. Willie McCovey is waiting on it. Still waiting. Mickey Mantle out on a high fly to left field. No runs, no hits, no errors, one man left. And the score at the end of the first half, the first inning, the Yankees nothing with the Giants coming to bat.
We'll be back with more exciting action from the seventh game of the 1962 World Series after this.
Excuse me, sir, but what's that they're raising up there?
That's the prime rate. Going up today.
Oh, I see.
Some days it goes up, some days it goes down.
And what exactly does the prime rate do?
Mostly it scares people silly. Little higher.
If the bank prime rate is scaring you out of a new car, ask your GM dealer about GMAC. GMAC has financing right now at rates that make sense. So get that new Chevy, Pontiac, Olds, Buick, Cadillac, or GMC truck you want with help from GMAC, the financing people from General Motors.
You're long to die of thirst this summer if it has to depend on the weather to get the water it needs. So be sure you've got quality hoses you can depend on from True Value Hardware Stores. Hi, Pat Summerall to tell you True Value nylon reinforced vinyl hoses are designed to stand up to the heat and remain flexible in cold weather. And right now you can get their 60-foot True Value hose for $9.99 or the super rugged 75-foot length for $14.99. Both have 5/8-inch inner diameter and are available only from participating True Value hardware stores.
And now, more action from Game 7 of the 1962 World Series.
Well, no score as we go into the bottom of the first inning. It'll be Felipe Lou to lead off for the Giants. He'll be followed by the second baseman, Chuck Hiller, and then the center fielder, Willie Mays. Ralph Perry completing the warm-up tosses. Elston Howard goes down to second with a throw, and we're ready to go. Alou, a right-handed batter, has a .318 batting average. 7 hits and 22 trips. Alou has batted in one run. A very large and enthusiastic crowd on hand here today, and needless to say, Giant rooters here. Ralph Perry gets ready. The pitch to Alou. He swings and pops it up behind the plate. Chris Howard coming back. It's going to be out of play. Looks him back in the crowd. One strike to Alou. Perry won 23 ball games and lost 12 during the regular season. And as we said previously, he's won one and lost one in this World Series. Alou taking a little time before he gets back in. Leaf right down on the end of the bat. Perry into the windup. The pitch. He swings and hits a pop fly outside of first base. Cowan is over there waiting. He's got it. Moose was battling the high sky on that one. Felipe Lou fouls to the first baseman. We'll bring up the second baseman, Chuck Hiller.
Chuck's a left-handed batter. He has a .318 batting average. 7 hits and 22 saves. Chuck has one home run in this series. That was a grand slam homer. He batted in 5 runs. Chuck stokes the bat. Perry, a tall, slender right-hander. Texas sign with Elston Howard. The pitch. Ball. It's outside. Miller uses a big six-handle bat, and during batting practice, it was almost game conditions for him as he sprayed the ball all over the ballpark. He wasn't trying to hit one out of here. He was just trying to hit it right up the middle and to left field, just hitting over the ball, hoping he could hit the ball down, get the ground ball base hit.
Here's a 1-0 pitch. He swings and fouls it back in the crowd. One ball, one strike. He's had a couple of hits in the left field, and the Yankees are playing in that way.
Didn't get a chance to ask Alvin Dark, but I just wonder if it was an artist from him, George. But batting practice was no playful matter with these Giants. Larry Jansen threw a lot of curve balls, and they were trying to do something with him.
The pitch to Hiller. He swings and hits a high fly ball down the left field line. Here's Trez racing into foul territory. He can't get it. The ball is in the seat. One ball and two strikes to Hiller.
Trez had a little bit of trouble as he got near the bullpen. There was no chance to make the play, but I say trouble because he stumbled on the mound, and he's kind of flexing his legs out there now because it's a high mound in the bullpen, and he stumbled as he got near the wall.
The wind does not seem to be blowing quite as hard now as it did at the start of this ball game. And one weatherman said here today the wind would be dying down during the afternoon. Harry gets ready. Here's the 1-2 pitch. Ball is down low. He dumped the fastball over the too low. The count is even to Hiller at 2-2. We're in the bottom of the first inning. In case you join this late, there's no score in the ball game. Giants batting, one out with no one on. Here's the 2-2 pitch. He swings and hits the bouncer to first. Sauron has it. Steps on the bag, and Chuck Hiller is out. Well, two down, and here's the center fielder, Willie Mays. Favorite here in San Francisco, and well, he should be. Willie's batting average in this series posted at .250, 6 hits and 24 trips. Perry delivers. Here's a fly ball. It's the left field. Tommy Craig moving in. He's got it besides the tires. Willie Mays sending a fly ball to Craig in left field. No runs, no hits, no errors, no one left. And the score at the end of one full inning of play, the Giants nothing, the Yankees nothing.
Game 7 of the World Series of 1962 continues after this. You're listening to a classic World Series from the archives of NBC Radio Sports. Game 7 of the World Series of 1962.
We move along into the top of the second inning. There's no score in the ball game. The Yankees had a base runner in the first inning. Bobby Richardson drew a walk, but he was stranded at first base. His strike fouled to the third baseman, and Mantle flied to left field. Roger Maris will be the leadoff man for the Yankees. He'll be followed by Elston Howard and then Bill Scourin. Roger has a .211 batting average, 4 hits and 19 trips. One home run and 5 runs batted in. Here's Sanford first pitch. Ball. Strike. He went up to the right end. Maris was going to bunt. He raced up in front of the box, took the pitch, and Landis went up to the right end. Sanford ready. The pitch. There's a line drive. The Maris hit that one like a bullet. A liner right straight to Davenport at third base. That'll not only make you talk to yourself, but you'll enjoy the conversation with yourself. There's one guy over there, and he hit a shot, something that Maris has been trying to do most of the series, and hit the ball very hard. Normally, that would be a base hit, but Davenport played wide of the bag, the only man over there in Lawrence Labovia, and he comes up with the play. Maris really mumbling as he went back to the bench, and you can hardly blame him.
I know what he's thinking, Joe. Only one man and about 150 feet there, and the ball hit like a bullet. He didn't have time to move, and it's right in his glove.
Well, there's one away, and the batter will be Elston Howard.
Ellie has a 176 batting average, 3 hits in this series and 17 trips. Strong right-handed batter. Here's the pitch. Foul ball. It's back on the screen. One strike. Sanford using the little pitch motion on that pitch, the first time he's used it today, but he's used it a lot throughout this series. I was talking to some of the Yankees on the plane coming out here from New York, and they said it was effective. Very effective, especially with 2 strikes.
George, it's also a telltale for manager Alvin Dark. When he gets sloppy with the leg movements, the tip-off is getting tired.
The pitch to Howard. There's a ground ball hit to the third baseman. Davenport flips it over to first. He's out. Elston Howard goes out. Davenport to Cepeda. That's 2 down, and the batter will be Bill Scallon. Bill has a 214 batting average. He has 3 hits and 14 trips. 1 run batted in. Bill right down on the end of the bat. Sanford gets ready. Here's the first pitch. Ball, it's inside. 1 ball and no strike. To give you an idea how hard the wind is blowing in from left field, Scarron unloaded one in batting practice that looked like it was going into the bay, and it hit the top of the fence and bounded back. The 1-0 pitch, a swing and a foul tip. And falling right at the plate. 1 ball, 1 strike. We're in the top of the second inning. There's no score in the ball game. 2 outs with no one on. Howard taking a little time. That ball might have hit him on the hand.
He did miss him, George, and he walked out to kind of get his bearings back as he put the ball to Sanford. Now he'll take a little bit of time given the sign.
1 ball, 1 strike to Scarron. Sanford gets ready. Here's the pitch. Curveball, it's up high. Ball 2 and strike 1. Sanford had great success against Howard and Scarron at Yankee Stadium. He was keeping the curveball low and on the outside part of the plate. Which is a good way to pick anybody, Joe.
Make an announcer out of all those guys, you keep it there.
Sanford taking a little time as he looks in. Here's the 2-1 pitch. He swings and bounces it foul off to the left. That'll even the count at 2-2.
How about those clubhouse meetings when you just start? They always say, well, keep that fastball up and in before you get in, and that curveball down. You got to get it down, though. And, of course, it's always high and tight, low and away, which is the perfect pitching pattern. If you could do that, that Hall of Fame would really be crowded
with pitchers.
No hitters, definitely none. The only hitter that can hit that curveball low and outside is like Bob Skinner said. That's the ball players that have gone to announcing. They can hit that curveball low and outside.
A ball 2 and a strike 2 count to Scarron. Sanford taking too much time to suit Bill, so he steps out. Moose just takes 1 step out of the box and looks out to Sanford. Is this to say, what's the reason for the delay? Now he's back in. Here's the 2-2 pitch. Inside, he got the fastball too close. 3-2 to Bill. 2 outs with no one on. Here in the top of the second inning, there's no score. The 7th and final game of this 1962 World Series. Sanford ready to pitch. There's a ground ball. It's slowly to the shortstop. Pagan has it to throw to first. He's out. Bill Scarron goes out. Starts to first. No runs, no hits, no errors, no one left. And the score at the end of the first half of the second inning, the Yankees nothing, the Giants nothing.
Back with more action from this classic World Series game of 1962 after this.
Come on.
Radio is presenting a rebroadcast of Game 7 of the 1962 World Series. The New York Yankees versus the San Francisco Giants.
Now we move along into the bottom of the second inning. No score in the ballgame. Willie McCovey will lead off for the Giants. He'll be followed by Orlando Cepeda, and then the catcher, Tom Holland. It's Sanford against Terry here today in the seventh inning. Pitchers meeting for the third time in this World Series. They each have a win. McCovey, a big left-handed batter, has a 1-2 batting average. Willie has 2 hits and 11 hits. He has 1 home run and 1 run batted in. The homer coming against Terry here at 10 to 6 points. The Yankees move deep and far to the right for McCovey. Here's the first pitch. Ball outside. One ball and a strike. Terry, of course, will be trying to keep everything away from Willie. He'll want to hit that outside corner. McCovey looking for something inside that he can pull down that right field line. Here's the 1-0 pitch. He swings and pops it up outside of first base. Here's Howard chasing it along with Starr, and Elston Howard is trying to make a play on it. He does. A tough play for Howard. He was looking right up into the sun over near the Giant dugout, but he made the catch. Well, there's one away, and the batter will be Orlando Cepeda. Orlando's batting average at 188. He has 3 hits in 16 trips. All 3 of Orlando's hits coming in yesterday's game. He has 2 runs batted in. Terry ready? The pitch. There's a ground ball hit down the third baseline. It's foul. Boy, you're moving across the line. A 1 strike count.
Orlando was having some fun in the clubhouse after the game, sitting with the newspaper man. Said, how come they waited until yesterday to come around? He said, I've been with the club all World Series. Nobody come around. Of course, somebody just finally honestly gave the answer. He said, keep hitting him. He'll be around. Don't hit and we'll see you.
Here's a 1 strike pitch. Curve. It's in the dirt. Elston Howard goes down on both knees to block this one. 1 ball, 1 strike. The Yankees gave him a little bit to right center. Mickey Mantle just a little bit to the right of second base. Deep in the outfield. Here's a 1-1 pitch. Strike 2. He cuts the corner with a good hard slider. 1 ball, 2 strikes. The Cepeda hits very deep in the box. Terry ready. The 1-2 pitch. Curve down low. That'll even the count at 2-2. Bottom of the second inning. There's one out with no one on. There's no score in the ballgame. Only one base runner so far in this game. Bobby Richardson drew a walk in the first inning. Terry looking in. Here's the 2-2 pitch. He swings and foul tips it right into the mitt of Elston Howard. A strikeout for Ralph Terry. That's 2 down, and the batter will be the catcher, Tom Holler. Tom has a .364 batting average. 4 hits and 11 trips. Just 1 home run and 3 runs batted in. Tom's a tall left-handed batter. Terry into the windup. Here's the pitch. Nice, he's up the fastball over the corner. A 1 strike count to Tom Holler, batting in the second inning with 2 outs and no one on. The Yankees nothing and the Giants nothing. Terry pounds his glove. Here's the pitch. High pop fly behind shortstop. Too bad drifting back. Shades his eyes. He's got it besides the yard. Tom Holler pops to the shortstop. No runs, no hits, no errors, no one left. And the score at the end of 2, the Giants nothing, the Yankees nothing.
This original 1962 World Series broadcast will continue on the NBC Radio Network. NBC Radio Sports is presenting a classic World Series broadcast, Game 7 of 1962, featuring superstars Willie Mays, Willie McCovey, Mickey Mantle, and Roger Maris.
At the end of 2, there's no score.
For the Yankees, no runs, no hits, no errors. For the Giants, no runs, no hits, no errors. It'll be Cletus Boyer to lead off. He'll be followed by Ralph Perry and then Tony Kubek. Jack Sanford still taking his warm-up tosses. Jack was a little slow getting up to the mound. Tom Haller makes the throw down to second base. Cleet Boyer steps in. We're ready to go here in the top of the third inning. Boy, this is it. All the pitchers are in the bullpen today. Even Billy Pierce for the Giants and Whitey Ford. Boy, the Yankees both said they would be ready to go again today. Boyer, a right-handed batter. He has a .278 batting average. Cleet has 5 hits in the series and 18 trips. There's a line drive to right. Allure is there. Boyer hit that one like a bullet. That's straight to Allure in right field. One away. And the batter will be Ralph Perry. There's Ralph coming on. Ralph is on deck circle. He just put a rosin on his hand. Willie Mays is the quarterback as far as the outfield is concerned, moving the guys around. He just moved McCovey in. Willie plays pretty deep for just about everybody. With Ralph Perry up there, Willie Mays wanting McCovey to move in because that wind is blowing directly in. A real tough job, hit one hard in the left field to get over his head. Perry, a right-handed batter. Sanford ready. Here's the first pitch. Nice, he's got a fastball right down the middle. A one-strike count to Ralph Perry. Batting with one out and no one on in the third inning. No score in the ball game. Sanford looking in. Here's the pitch. Right two. Tucked the corner with this one. Right two down. The Giants have shortened up all around. McCovey, Mays, and Alou shortened up and playing Ralph a little bit to right field. Sanford checks the sign. Here's the two-strike pitch. A swing and a miss. He tried to catch it, but it's gone too far on the low curveball. Perry goes down swinging. It's the first strikeout in the ball game for Sanford. It's two down, and the batter will be Tony Kubek. Tony sent a fly ball to Willie Mays his first time at bat. Left-handed batter. Sanford ready. Here's the first pitch. A swing and a miss. Low curve at the knee. One strike to Kubek. The umpires today, Sam Landis is behind the plate. Jim Honnachich at first base. Al Barlick at second base. Charlie Berry at third. Ken Burkhardt and Hank Storr down the line. There's a fastball outside. One ball and one strike to Kubek. Ken Burkhardt down the left field line and Hank Storr down the right field line. Sanford gets ready. Here's the 1-1 pitch. Outside again, trying to catch the corner with a fastball. Ball two and strike one.
It'll be a job for Kubek to try to hit a ball between McCovey and the line in left field. McCovey really guarding that line as if he wants to give Willie Mays as much running room as possible, Joyce.
Sanford into the windup. The 2-1 pitch. Here's a ground ball to left field. A solid base hit for Kubek as he punched an outside fastball between Davenport and Pagan into left field. That's the first hit of the ball game with the runner at first base with two outs. And the batter will be Bobby Richardson. Bobby drew a walk his first time at bat. Sanford wanted a new baseball. After Kubek punched that one to left field, Sam Landis makes his change. So we'll keep an eye on Kubek at first base. He might be running here with two outs. Thrown out, the Yankees would still have Bobby Richardson to lead off in the next inning. Here's the pitch. Ball, it's up high. Bobby was ready to bunt. Shortened up, took the high pitch. One ball and no strike. Davenport has moved in close at third. Jimmy is playing about even with the bag right now. A scoreless ball game. We're in the top of the third inning.
time for just that. Here's the 1-0 pitch. Inside. That ball in on the fifth. Ball two in his sight. Josh has been having trouble getting the ball over to Bobby Richardson. He walked in his first time at bat on a 3-1 pitch. Now he's behind with a ball two and a no strike count. Josh checks his runner at first base. Quick throw to first. Kubak back in time. Boyer opened this inning with a line drive to right. Carey struck out, and Kubak singled to left field. Here's the pitch. Right, he got the fastball. Quick throw to first. Kubak back in time. Tony slipped. Fowler made a wide throw. A good throw would have had him at first base as Kubak slipped. Fell, trying to get back to first base, and then he had to crawl to the bag. But Howler's throw was wide, and Orlando Cepeda had no chance to put the tag on him. The tip off of the other base runners, because Kubek wasn't really going anywhere. He was just trying to get back to first base. The footing is not solid. Here's the pitch to Richardson. Inside, he checked his swing on a high inside fastball. 3-1 to Bobby. Richardson out of the box for a moment, looking down to third where he checks with Frankie Saucetti to see if the hit sign is on for this 3-1 pitch.
He's one of those guys, too, like, know that runner is going to break up that infield because he can pick his spot.
Manfred gets that. Here's the pitch. Down low, he walks him. Bobby Richardson walks again. That's two walks given up by Manfred. Both times it's been Bobby. So the Yankees have runners at first and second with two outs. And the batter will be Tommy Trace, the left fielder. Tommy's 0 for 1. He fouled to Davenport his first time at bat. Well, this is the first threat of the ball game. Two on with two out. Giants play straight, pretty much straight away. Manfred gets up. Here's the first pitch. He swings and hits a high pop fly down the left field line. Davenport is chasing it along with McCovey, but it's going back in the crowd. A high pop fly down the left field line near the Giant bullpen. The wind moving that one right back into the crowd. A one-strike count to Tommy Trace. Tommy has 8 hits in this series. Kubek had 7 going into this ball game. He singled in this inning, so he's all tied with Tommy for number of hits. Manfred taking a little time as he looks in. Boy, he doesn't want to make a mistake here. Here's the pitch. Ball outside. 1-1 to Trace. It was a 3-run homer by Trace in Yankee Stadium that beat Manfred in the 5th game of the series. A 3-run homer coming with a score tied at 2-2. Tommy chokes about a little bit as he waits. Here's a 1-1 pitch. Ball, it's up high. Ball two in strike one. Boy, you can hear the rumble through this crowd every time Sanford delivers a bad pitch. Mickey Mantle is in the on-deck circle, Joe.
You can bet that's one thing that Howler reminded Sanford about as he went out to talk to him. The one defense that you can't come up with is the one for the base on balls. And with the wind the way it is here in this ballpark, you want him to hit the ball because right now it's blowing directly in and it's not going to help any ball hit anywhere. It's going to hurt it. And unless you get that ball in that strike zone, you're going to be in serious trouble.
Sanford gets that. Here's the 2-1 pitch. Ball outside, way outside. 3-1 to Tommy Trace. Manfred is sticking high today. That is something unusual for him. In the first 2 games, he was low, Joe.
Right, and the 2 tip-offs, as far as the pitching of Manfred, is the leg motion. If he gets sloppy with that or gets the ball up, it's an indication that he's not really sharp. And he has to pitch down with everything.
Jack taking a little time as he looks in. Yankees have runners at first and second with 2 outs. Here's the 3-1 pitch. Right to the outside corner with a fastball. Went right on the corner as he threaded the needle. it 3-2 to Tommy Craig. The runners will be moving. 3-2 and two out. Two back at second base. Bobby Richardson at first base. Sanford gets that. He whirls to throw to second. Holds the ball as nobody's going over to cover. What a pickoff play at second base yesterday that did not work was a vital play in the ball game. Here's the pitch. A ground ball hit to the second baseman. Hiller has it. Here's a flip to first. Tommy Craig goes out. No runs in the inning on one hit. There were no errors. Two men left. And the score at the end of the first half of third inning. The Giants nothing. The Yankees nothing.
We'll be back with more exciting action from the seventh game of the 1962 World Series after this.
Hi, Pat Summerall to remind you that good household help is hard to find, except at True Value Hardware Stores. There you'll find a selection of quality-designed Rubbermaid products to provide helpful convenience all over the house. Use Rubbermaid stackable storage bins to organize kitchen utensils, or in the family room to store small toys and sewing notions. Rubbermaid shower accessories will help keep bathrooms looking neat. Plus, you'll find durable Rubbermaid pitchers, waste baskets, and more at participating True Value Hardware Stores and Home Centers. And now, more action from Game 7 of the 1962 World Series.
Now we're going to the bottom of the third inning. No score in the ballgame. The Yankees making a threat in the top of this inning. A two on with two outs, and Craig bounced to the second baseman.
George, that was a pretty good indication of what manager Darcy has been saying about Sanford all year, that he just won't give in to that hitter. When he got to 3-2, it was a breaking ball that Craig hit. Even though Mickey Mantle was on deck, the big home run hitter, Sanford was not going to give in to Craig and match him with the fastball. He went to the breaking ball, and Tommy was a bit out in front of it, hit a nice ground ball to Hiller, and Sanford was out of it. Darcy said it so many times that Sanford just will not give in to the hitter, and that's been the difference in just being a good and a great pitcher.
There's Jimmy Davenport to lead off for the Giants in the bottom of the third inning. Ralph Perry delivers. Bites. He's up the fastball of it. One strike down. Davenport's batting average, 158. He has three hits and 19 fifths. Jimmy has one run batted in. Boy, he's made some great plays at third base throughout this series. There's a foul ball. It'll be out of play. And coming back into the upper deck. A strike two down. Jimmy made one good play today. Might have been in self-defense as Roger Maris slammed a bullet at him at third base. He got the glove up in time. Perry ready. The pitch. Foul ball. He checked his swing. Ball hit his bat, bailed over the Giant dugout back into the lower deck. Still strike two. We're in the bottom of the third inning. There's no score in the ball game. Jimmy Davenport, the leadoff man for the Giants. Perry into the windup. Here's the pitch. Inside. He pushed him back. One ball, two strikes. Perry has thrown mostly fastballs today. He will throw a lot of slow curves before the afternoon is over. There's a 1-2 pitch. Fastball hit on the ground foul. Still a ball and two strikes. Joe, I think the wind might affect the pitching somewhere. I think pitchers like to throw the curves into the wind, don't they?
When it's falling the way it is, George, they get that big break and they don't have good control of it. I know Terry, we mentioned, he came out mighty, mighty early to warm up.
Here's a 1-2 pitch. It's a curve, it's up high. 2-2 to Davenport.
Not that good, quick breaker, that dive-bomber-type curveball. You can still control that pretty well, but it's a big lollipop, a big roundhouse curveball. That's the one that's a little bit of a problem on a day like today.
Terry gets ready. Here's a 2-2 pitch. High fly ball hit down the right field line. Richardson chasing it along with Maris. The wind is taking it away from Bobby, and he can't make a play on it. Bobby was having all kinds of trouble. Not only with the
wind, but with a high sky in the sun here, and he chased it over near the stand, and he finally overran the ball. It fell behind him.
He probably took a look, too, at just how close he was to those stands. It's a tough thing to get familiar with it, because unless you hit the warning track, which is some 8 or 9 feet from the stands, and you can feel that gravel under your feet, you're really not sure where you are. And there's a lot of room to roam here, and I tell you, you start to run a few feet, you can get lost, and Bobby had all kinds of problems on that one.
Here's the 2-2 pitch. A swing and a foul tip. This one popped out of the mitt of Howard coming behind the plate. Still 2-2. Jimmy Davenport, the leadoff man for the Giants in the bottom of the third inning.
Cut it in. Boy, he's made some great plays at third base throughout this series.
It's a foul ball. It'll be out of play. And coming back into the upper deck. But strike two down. Jimmy made one good play today. Might have been in self-defense as Roger Maris slammed a bullet at him at third base. He got the glove up in time. Terry ready? The pitch. Foul ball. He checked his swing. Ball hit his bat, sailed over the giant dugout back into the lower deck. Still strike two. We're in the bottom of the third inning. There's no score in the ball game. Jimmy Davenport, the leadoff man for the Giants. Terry, into the windup. Here's the pitch. Inside, he pushed him back. One ball, two strikes. Terry has thrown mostly fastballs today. He will throw a lot of slow curves before the afternoon is over. Here's the 1-2 pitch. Fastball hit on the ground, foul. Still a ball and two strikes. You know, I think the wind might affect the pitching somewhere. I think pitchers like to throw the curves into the wind, don't they?
When it's blowing away, it is, George. They get that big break, and they don't have good control of it. I know Terry, we mentioned it. He came out mighty early to warm up.
Here's the 1-2 pitch. It's the curve. It's up high. 2-2 to Davenport.
Not that good, quick breaker, that dive-bomber-type curveball. You can still control that pretty well, but it's a big lollipop and big roundhouse curveball. That's the one that's a little bit of a problem on a day like today.
Terry, get ready. Here's the 2-2 pitch. High fly ball, hit down the right field line. Richardson chasing it along with Maris. The wind is taking it away from Bobby, and he can't make a play on it. Bobby was having all kinds of trouble, not only with the wind, but with a high sky in the sun here, and he chased it over near the stand, and he finally overran the ball. It fell behind him.
He probably took a look, too, at just how close he was to those stands. It's a tough thing to get familiar with it, because unless you hit the warning track, which is some 8 or 9 feet from the stands, and you can feel that gravel under your feet, you're really not sure where you are. And there's a lot of room to roam here, and I tell you, you start to run a few feet, you can get lost, and Bobby had all kinds of problems on that one.
Here's the 2-2 pitch. A swing and a foul tip. This one popped out of the mitt of Howard coming behind the plate. Still 2-2. Jimmy Davenport, the leadoff man for the Giants in the bottom of the third inning. Well, you can hear the rhythmic applause of the Giants fans. They want Davenport to get something going here in the third inning. Ralph Terry delivers another foul ball. This will be out of play. Yankees have no runs on one hit, no errors. The Giants have no runs, no hits, and they have no errors. The Yankees had a threat going in the top of this inning. They had two on with two outs, but Tommy Trace bounced to the second baseman. He done that one. Here's the pitch. A ground ball hits foul down the third baseline. And Davenport making serious hits here in the third inning. Terry has good control. He'll be right around the plate all the time. Keeping these pitches low and away, and Davenport just getting a piece of them. Jimmy chokes the bat, bounces over the plate. A 2-2 pitch. Another foul ball off to the left. Still 2-2. Well, the crowd getting quite a thrill out of this as Davenport has fouled off some 7 or 8 pitches.
It doesn't bother you too much when you catch it, when your fellow sign like Davenport went in deliberately, like a Hemus or a Harry Walker used to just foul him off to get that base on ball. That kind of bugs you a little bit.
Terry
Jerry gets ready. But this is it. There's a high fly ball hit into shallow center field. Richardson going out. Now Bobby's calling for it. He's got it.
What? He wasn't at all sure of it. Bobby almost down on one knee as he made the catch on that one.
Mallow was just a bit disgusted because Mickey thought he was going to catch that ball, and that flag just flown directly in and flew right to Bobby Richardson. Ball players constantly jumping with the flag. Because it could be a very embarrassing situation.
Bill thinks this wind, Joe, is going to be a big factor in this ball game before it's over. It seemed to die down for a moment, but right now it is really whipping the flags in center field. There's Jose Pagan, the shortstop. Terry delivers the curve. He bounces it to third. Boyer has it to throw to first. He's out. Pagan goes out on the first pitch. Third to first. Well, that's two down. We'll bring up the pitcher, Jack Sanford. There's a big round of applause for Sanford as he comes on. Boy, Jack has been quite a pitcher in this World Series. Won the first game, 2-0. He was tied 2-2 in the second game he pitched going into the eighth inning. Two singles and a home run. And the Yankees won that one 5-3. Ralph Perry delivers. Twice he got the curveball of it. A one strike down.
Mel treats Sanford with a lot of respect. He's a pretty good hitter. He swings that bat.
Jack's soaking the bat as he waits on Perry. The pitch. Strike two. Fastball over the outside part of the plate. A two-strike count. We're in the bottom of the third inning. There's two outs with no one on. There's no score in the game. The Giants and the Yankees in the seventh game of the 62 World Series. Perry gets ready. Here's the two-strike pitch. Fly ball here in the center field. Mickey Mantle is waiting on this one. He's got it to side to side. Jack Sanford flying to Mantle in center field. No runs, no hits, no errors, no one left, and the score at the end of three. The Giants nothing, the Yankees nothing.
You're listening to a classic World Series from the archives of NBC Radio Sports. Game 7 of the World Series of 1962.
Mickey Mantle will be the leadoff man in the fourth inning for the Yankees. He'll be followed by Roger Maris and then Elston Howard. Mickey flied to left field his first time at bat. That was back in the first inning. Mickey, a quick hitter batting left-handed against the right-hander Jack Sanford. Only one hit in this game so far. That was a single to left field by Tony Kubek. Sanford gets ready, and here's the pitch to Mantle. Ball and the pass. One ball and no strike.
While warming up between him and Tom Haller, the catcher was really giving Sanford a low target, hoping that he could get him down. He's been up with all his pitches, and when a fellow is up like that, you try to give as low a target as possible, even out of the strike zone low, to make sure he holds on that ball a little bit longer.
Here's the 1-0 pitch. Nice, he's off the corner with this one. 1-1. Mickey turns to look to Stan Landis. A ball and a strike to Mantle, leading off for the Yankees in the fourth inning. A scoreless ball game here at Candlestick Park. Another bright, sunshiny afternoon. Not a cloud in the sky here in San Francisco. Strong breeze blowing in from left field, right straight to home plate. Now, at one time, it was blowing across to the corner in right field, but now it's blowing straight into the plate. A pitch to Mickey. There's a pop fly. It'll be out of play, coming back in the crowd. Mantle is trying to get out of the way of a high inside fastball. It hit his bat and sails back. Of course, one ball and two strikes. Roger Maris is waiting in the on-deck circle. Sanford taking a lot of time between pitches. Jack is being very careful here today. Joe checking his time with Haller. Here's a 1-2 pitch. A swing and a miss. He's struck him out. He's now going to wall curveball strike out. One away, and the batter will be Roger Maris. Rod, an offensive line drive, played to Davenport his first time at bat.
Giants go deep and far to the right from there. They play him as a pull hitter all the way. Three infielders on the right side. Sanford delivers outside. One ball and no strike. You talk about stacking the deck, Joe. They not only put three infielders on one side, but they pitch him on the outside part of the plate.
And put two outfielders behind the three infielders. Looks like a convention on that side.
It's a 1-0 pitch. He swings and hits a high fly ball down the left field line. Davenport is chasing it, but puts him going back in the crowd. Well, some spectators, Joe, I think, got hit with that one on the head trying to make a play. He probably found out how tough it is for these fielders today. One ball, one strike to Roger Maris. Right down on the end of the bat, waiting on Jack Sanford. Here's the 1-1 pitch. He swings and hits a bouncer to third. Davenport has it. The long throw to first. He's out. Roger Maris tried to punch the ball in the left field in a one-hopper right straight to Davenport at third base. Well, there's two down, and the batter will be Elston Howard. It is 0-1. He bounced to the third baseman his first time at bat. We're in the top of the fourth inning. There's two outs with no one on. There's no score in the ball game. Here's the pitch. Right, he got a fastball over. One strike to Elston Howard. The Yankees have had three base runners. Bobby Richardson has walked twice. Kubrick has had a single. But Giants have not had a base runner in this game. Here's the pitch. A high pop fly on the infield. Scott Miller at second base is calling for it. Now Pagan is there, and Pagan's going to make the play. Miller has called for the ball, and Pagan, letting the wind move in near the bag of second to make the catch. No runs, no hits, no errors, no one left, and the score at the end of the first half of the fourth inning. The Giants nothing, the Yankees nothing.
Back with more action from this classic World Series game of 1962 after this. Let a three-time Indy 500 winner and current national driving champion tell you why he asked for Pennzoil motor oil. Hi, I'm Johnny Rutherford. We use Pennzoil in the race car for top engine protection at high speed. But in my own car, I want engine protection plus good gas mileage. That's why I'm more of a Pennzoil fan now than ever. Because Pennzoil does save gasoline. You see, Pennzoil engineers have made it even more slippery. This means there's less friction where engine metal meets engine metal, so the engine runs easier. And the easier an engine runs, the less gasoline it drinks up. Johnny Rutherford knows. Gas-saving Pennzoil. There's quality in every extra mile. Available in 10W30 and 10W40. NBC Radio is presenting a rebroadcast of Game 7 of the 1962 World Series. The New York Yankees versus the San Francisco Giants.
Now we move along into the bottom of the fourth inning. No score in the ball game.
Judge, you remember the little things about the different hitters. Philly Falou, who's the leadoff this inning, as a leadoff man, the Yankees been going to the curveball, and he's been jumping on the first pitch. He's either become a first ball hitter when he's in the leadoff spot. You see if he jumped on that first one this time. Both Sanford and Terry hooked up once again. I think the individual pitching when these two guys hooked up has been tremendous throughout the series. Well, and another great one going here today. Falou to lead it off. He'll be followed by Chuck Keller and then Willie Mays.
Falou fouled to the first baseman, Sharon, his first time at bat. Falou right down on the end of the bat, waiting on Ralph Terry. Here's the first pitch. Ball, it's inside. One ball and a strike. The Yankees play in the left field. And they play deep for Falou. It's a 1-0 pitch. There's a high fly ball. Hits the shallow left. Price is having trouble with it, but he's rolling in now. Dillon is in and he makes the catch on the run. Tommy Price lost the ball. He was still looking up into the sky. At the last moment, he's been racing there, and he caught it about knee high. During batting practice, all the outfielders, they couldn't wait to get out there and have the coaches hit them the high fly ball, but really, it doesn't help that much because the wind is constantly shifting. Right now, it's blowing directly in. And all you can do is try to, well, what is it, Kentucky windies you used in the Army times? You try to play the wind?
I don't know, but I don't want to play that left field today. Or shortstop or third base either on these top flies. Now, tell her the batter. Bounce to the first baseman his first time at bat. There he delivers. Here's a fly ball hit in the shallow center. Mickey Mantle is racing in. He's still coming, and he's got it. And Mickey was having trouble on that one as he was racing in from center field. That's two down, and the batter will be Willie Mays. Willie's 0 for 1 in this game. He's been a fly ball to Trace in left field his first time. Giants will get a lot of balls in the air here today because Terry is that fast pitcher. He throws the fastball up high, hit it up in the air, and he throws a slow curveball. They have a tendency to get under it and loft it into the air. Here's the pitch to Willie. Fastball, it's in there. One strike. Mays the batter in the bottom of the fourth inning with two outs and no one on, no score in the game. Here's a one-strike pitch. High fly ball hit into right center field. Mickey Mantle moving over. Ball is carrying in. Now Mickey's having trouble. He missed a one-handed catch at the last moment. Mantle seemed to lose the ball. Maris came racing over to catch it. And Mickey made a one-handed catch. No runs, no hits, no errors, no one left. And the score at the end of four, the Yankees nothing, the Giants nothing.
This original 1962 World Series broadcast will continue on the NBC Radio Network. NBC Radio Sports is presenting a classic World Series broadcast, Game 7 of 1962, featuring superstars Willie Mays, Willie McCovey, Mickey Mantle, and Roger Maris.
George Kell and Joe Garagiola back at Candlestick Park in San Francisco. A scoreless ball game as they go into the fifth inning. No runs on one hit for the Yankees. No runs, no hits for the Giants. Bill Starin will lead off for New York. Bill bounces the shortstop his first time. He swings and misses on a fastball. One strike. It'll be Starin, Boyer, and Perry, the first three batters for New York. Sanford gets ready. Here's the one strike pitch. Inside. He got the curve low and in. One ball, one strike. The Yankees have had three base runners, two on walks, one on a single, and the Giants are looking for their first base runner. Here's the 1-1 pitch. In the dirt with a curve. Picked up by Tom Haller. It's a ball two and a strike one down. The Giants play Starin deep and straight away. Bill hits to all fields, mostly in the right center and left center. He is not a pull hitter. He does not hit a lot of balls down the right field line. Here's the pitch. He swings and bounces his foul through the coaching box at third base. Frankie Calcetti has to skip a little rope to get out of the way of this one. Calcetti is coaching at third base, and Wally Moses is coaching first base for the Yankees. And two to Starin, leadoff man for the Yankees in the fifth inning. Here's the pitch. He swings and hits a ground ball to left field, just out of the reach of Pagan. Bill Starin with a solid single. That's hit number two for the Yankees. With the runner at first base with no one out, and the batter will be Sleet Boyer. Boyer hit the ball hard his first time at bat. He lined it straight to Alou in right field.
a right-handed batter. 278 batting average in a series. Here's the pitch. A swing and a miss. He was trying to drill the ball past Davenport at third base. Jimmy playing in close. He was not looking for the bunt, but he's going to be ready in case Boyer drops one. Stanford looking in. That's taking a lot of time between pitches. That's his runner at first base. The pitch. Strike two. Got the slider over the outside corner. A two-strike count to Clay Boyer. Bill Scarron opened this inning with a ground ball single to left. He's at first base with no one out. Stanford checks the sign with Howard. Here's a pitch to Clay. Way outside with this one. Haller hanging that one in the webbing of his mitt.
They don't expect Boyer to try to hit that ball to right field. Second baseman Miller is shooting towards the bag. Pagano is kind of protecting that hole between short and third. It'll be Miller who is over near second base to make the pivot.
Boyer choking the bat as he waits on Stanford. Here's a 1-2 pitch. He swings and hits the liner in the left corner. Scarron on his way to third. Boyer's going to hold on with a single as Willie Mays grabbed that ball and fired it into second base. On a dry field, that ball would have rolled all the way to the fence. It dipped in the wet turf and stopped. Willie Mays picked it up, rifled it into second base, and Boyer holds on with a long single.
Jack Stanford, I'm talking now with his catcher, hands on his hips. He's a bit disgusted because it was a big high-hanging curveball, and Boyer really jumped on it. It was a room service pitch, and he just drilled it. I thought it was going to get by as it plugged the gap, but of course, Willie Mays in center field, one of the great ones, keeps the double play in order by holding Boyer at first base with a real long single, and that serve certainly did stop the ball.
Oh, the Yankees have runners at first and third. No one out, and the batter will be Ralph Terry. This is the way the Giants are going to play their infield. Davenport, even with the bag at third, he's ready for a play at the plate. The plate, of course, holds against the runner at first base. Miller has moved in a couple of steps from second, and Pagan a step or so at shortstop. Here's a pitch to Terry. Ball, it's in tight. One ball and a strike.
The bullpen is up, George. Stu Miller, a right-hander, and Billy O'Dell, a left-hander, throwing for the Giants.
You can bet everybody's going to be ready in this ball game today. No score in the fifth inning. The Yankees are threatening. There's a pitch to Terry. Inside again. He almost hit him with a fastball. Ball two in his sight. Scarron opened the inning with a ground ball single to left. Clay Boyer followed with a long single in the left center. And the Yankees have runners at first and third with no one out. Stanford just set. A pitch to Terry. Inside again, another fastball that pushed him back. 3-0 to Terry. Stanford seems to be laboring a little right now. He was just aiming that pitch, Joe.
Exactly what he was doing. He was aiming it. His pattern has been to be wild high, and Haller, I'm sure, when a fellow has a pattern one way, like wild high, it's because he's standing straight up to throw it, and vice versa, if he's bouncing the ball, it's because he's bending too far and holding on too long. But on this particular wild sequence of carry, he's just been aiming the ball, trying to throw a strike, and hasn't been able to do it.
Here's a 3-0 pitch. Ball, it's down low. Terry draws a walk. Loads the bases with no one out. And this manager, Al Garrett, on the run out to the mound. Well, Stanford seemed to be laboring as he was pitching to Terry, especially on the last two pitches. As Joe pointed out, he was aiming the ball over the plate. Of course, he didn't get him over, so Terry draws a walk, and that's a big play for the Yankees.
And the big danger point, the thing that Alvin Dodge is trying to protect against, is that your pitcher is letting up. You don't want him to let up the throw a strike. You want him to keep good stuff. And I'm sure if Alvin Dodge is going to let him in, he hasn't made any decision. He's standing out there talking while the bullpen is getting hot. Wes Winstrom is up, and he has just given the sign to Dodge that if he wants to make a move, they are ready, but Stanford will stay in. And about all a manager says when he comes out in a spot like that is that you've been a fine pitcher all year by throwing that ball hard. Just cut it loose, don't aim it, and throw strikes. Give the infielders an opportunity chance to make a play for you.
Well, the bases are loaded with no one out. And the batter will be Tony Kubek. Tony's had one hit and two trips. He flied to center field in the first inning, singled in the third. Manfred looking in to get the sign. Here's the pitch to Kubek. Ball outside. One ball and no strike. All the Giants are playing about halfway on the infield with the exception of Davenport, who is in even with the bag. Jimmy is ready to make a play at the plate. Cepeda, Hiller, and Pagan could go either way. It'll depend on how hard the ball is hit. If hard enough for the double play, more than likely they'll go in that direction. Otherwise, they'll be coming to the plate. Here's a 1-0 pitch. Ball way outside with this one. It's 2-0 to Kubek. Manfred having a little control problem.
Georgia might just go a step further on the defense, and the outfield is in very shallow, and on the fly ball, with the way that wind is blowing, it might be a problem for Scowen to score. Of course, the Yankees are letting Manfred pitch, and he's falling behind. He's 2-0. Let's see, what knock got in right here.
Manfred into the windup, the pitch. Strike, he got the fastball over.
Kubek was taking all the way on it.
Not coming in with a fastball around the knees. It's a ball two and a strike one count. A scoreless ball game. We're in the fifth inning. The Yankees threatening. The base is loaded. No one out. Manfred ready. Here's the 2-1 pitch. A ground ball hit to the shortstop. They're going for two. The second one out. Back to first. A double play. Kubek gets the ball to Pagan, who flips it over to Hiller, and back to Cepeda in time for the double play as Bill Scourin comes in to score, and the Yankees go out in front 1-0. Boyer moves to third base with two outs, and the batter will be Bobby Richardson. Bobby's been to the plate twice. He's walked both times. Davenport still playing in close. He'll be watching a bun in this situation. Here's the pitch to Bobby. A swing and a foul. And back to the screen.
He's getting that ball up, and you can see him take his head out on the mound. Sanford, a bit disgusted because he's been getting that ball up in their eyes. And George, even I would take a watch at that high curveball because you just can't order a better pitch than a big, nice, high-hanging curveball. And when Richardson saw that one, he had a pretty good set at it.
Say all the country boys like the high fastball, but I think everybody likes the high fastball.
Boy, that's the international pitch.
A one strike count to Bobby Richardson. Yankees have a runner at third base with two outs. They lose 1-0 in this game. Manfred gets ready. This is it. High pop fly on the infield. The player at first base, moving into foul territory, is there. One run on three hits for the Yankees. No errors, one man left. And the score at the end of the first half of the fifth inning. The Yankees won, and the Giants nothing.
We'll be back with more exciting action from the seventh game of the 1962 World Series after this.
You know, Mr. Howell, this old car of yours takes more gas than anybody else's in town.
No.
Everything's a trading it in. With all that chrome, it ought to be worth a lot.
Yeah, but look, who can buy a new car with the prime rate so high?
If the bank prime rate is scaring you out of a new car or truck, ask your GM dealer about GMAC. GMAC has financing right now at rates that make sense. So get that new Chevy, Pontiac, old Buick, Cadillac, or GMC truck you want. With help from GMAC, the financing people from General Motors. And now, more action from Game 7 of the 1962 World Series.
going to the bottom of the fifth inning. Willie McCovey will be the leadoff man. He'll be followed by Orlando Cepeda and then Tom Holland. The Yankees is leading in this ball game by a score of 1-0. Bill Scourin has just called time. He wants a pair of sunglasses from the Yankee dugout. The bat boy moving out. McCovey's 0-for-1 in the game. He's fouled to the catcher, Howard, his first time in bat. Well, Sanford had the bases loaded with no one out, but he got out of it with only one run, which was about as well as the Giants could hope for. Here's the pitch. Right. Terry delivers a fastball over the outside corner. Willie McCovey, a tall left-handed batter. Here's the pitch. Outside, trying to get the corner again. 1-1 to Willie. He'll be followed by Cepeda and then Tom Haller. Bottom of the fifth inning. Yankees 1, the Giants nothing. Terry delivers a curve. He swings and misses. Ralph pulled the swing on him, and Willie went all the way around.
See, when you don't hit a ball, and you swing that hard, it does you a lot of good because it got a part of your body that's not nice and loose now. What a cut he had in a slow curveball. Wow.
Terry delivers a fastball. He got it too high. 2-2 to McCovey. He's trying to set Willie up for another slow curve. Coming in with a fastball around the letters. Terry sets the sign. Here's a 2-2 pitch. Fastball. He gets it high into the air into shallow left center field. Nick Ferris coming in. Still moving in. And he makes the catch. Willie McCovey out on a high fly ball in the left field. One away, and the batter will be the first baseman, Orlando Cepeda. Cepeda was a strikeout victim his first time at bat. He is right-handed batter. Terry delivers the curveball. It's in there. One strike. 1-0. The Yankees leading. We're in the bottom of the fifth inning. Cepeda batting with one out and no one on. Terry gets ready. Here's the pitch. Slow curve. He hits it high into the air down the right field line. This one's curving. It's going back into the crowd. Richardson and Maris giving chase. Oh, it's strike two to Cepeda. The Yankees used two singles and a walk to load the bases with no one out, and Kubek getting into a double play, getting the run in. Here's the pitch. This one in the dirt. One hit way out in front of the plate. One hop right into the mitt of Elston Howard.
You know, you catch those like you've been doing it all your life, and you're really lucky when you come up with them. You act like, oh, well, I've been catching them like that all year long. Oh, I've been trying to play it there, the one-handed grab.
Terry taking a little bit too much time for Cepeda. Orlando out for a moment. Here's the 1-2 pitch. He swings and hits a high fly ball into shallow right field. Richardson moving back is there, and Bobby makes the catch. 40 almost dropped. You can see a lot of white in his glove.
George, you can see that the slow curveball of Terry really helps his fastball a great deal. He's got a good fastball, but with that slow curveball, it sets up his fastball. He's getting the ball by these tough hitters like McCovey and Acevedo hitting behind him. If you're using score, don't look now, but there's only been one ground ball hit. As far as an assistant infield, that goes to Boyer.
There's a bit to Howler. It's down low. One ball, no strike. Tom pops to the shortstop his first time at bat. Giants batting in the fifth inning. Two outs with no one on. The Yankees lead 1-0. Here's a 1-0 pitch. Right. He's got the slow curveball over. 1-1. Howler, a tall left-handed batter. Terry pounds the ball in his glove. Here's a 1-1 pitch. Fastball, it's in there. Boy, he is threading a needle on the outside corner with a good fastball.
One ball, two strikes. Fowler might have been looking for the curve. There's no indication he was going to swing at the fastball. Perry into the windup. The 1-2 pitch. Here's the curve. Bounce right back to the mound. Ralph has it to throw to first base. He's out. Fowler goes out. Pitcher to first. No runs, no hits, no errors, no one left. And the score at the end of 5, the Yankees 1 and the Giants nothing.
Game 7 of the World Series of 1962 continues after this. You're listening to a classic World Series from the archives of NBC Radio Sports. Game 7 of the World Series of 1962.
Well, at the end of 5, the Yankees have one run on 3 hits and no errors. The Giants have no runs, no hits, and they have no errors. Ground ball by Miller, and the first is down. And ground ball by Pagano Boyer, and a ground ball by Tom Howell back to Ralph Perry. The only ground ball is hit off the right hand of the Yankees. And that Sanford got out of a big jam in the fifth, so once again, they're hooked up. Tommy Trace will be the leadoff man for New York. He'll be followed by Mickey Mantle and then Roger Maris. Tommy's 0 for 2. He fouled his third baseman back in the first inning, and he bounced the second in the third inning. Sanford ready, and here's the pitch. High foul ball that'll be out of play. And off the third base side. One strike to Tommy. A 1-0 ball game. We're in the top of the sixth inning. Chris chokes the bat as he waits on Sanford. The pitch. He bunts it up in the air. The player is moving in fast and makes the catch. Tommy Chris trying to drag the ball down the first baseline, pops it up. Orlando Cepeda moves into foul territory to make the grab. One away, and the batter will be Mickey Mantle. Mickey has slid to left and struck out in 2-7. The Yankees won, the Giants nothing here in the sixth inning. Here's a pitch to Mantle. Ball down low. One ball, that's right. Lou is deep in right field and near the line. May is playing just a little bit in the right center, not too much, and McCovey is playing in straightaway left field. They're all deep. Sanford into the windup, the 1-0 pitch. Down low, another curve below the knee. Ball two in his sight. The Yankees picked up a run in the fifth inning. That's been the only scoring in this game. Sanford gets ready. Here's the 2-0 pitch. Upside. One off the corner. 3-0 to Mickey.
The fellow hasn't been hitting and has the power of Mantle. You certainly have to be careful. He might turn him loose 3-0 if he can't pick up a quick run.
Mickey's right down on the end of the bat waiting. Here's the pitch. Down low. He walked him. I believe he was going to swing at it. Mickey was ready, but the pitch is too low. So Mantle draws a walk. That's the fourth walk given up by Sanford. And the batter is Maris.
Georgetown Larson gets up in the Giant bullpen now and starts to loosen up. So there is the third pitcher in the bullpen used by manager Alvin Dodge. He's got Odell, Sue Miller, and now Don Larson.
Roger Maris has lined to the third baseman and bounced to the third baseman in 2-0. Mantle at first base with one out here in the sixth inning. Sanford gets that. It's a quick throw to first. He is out. Sanford caught Mickey Mantle leaning towards second. He made a quick throw to first, and he picked him off. Two out. Roger Maris about it. Here's the pitch. Right, he got a fastball over here. Around the knee. Boy, that play brought the crowd this team. Mantle taking a big lead. Obviously, he's going to move on the first pitch.
Sanford caught him leaning, made a quick snap throw to first, and Cepeda put the tag on him. The pitch to Maris. Outside. One ball, one strike. Once again, the Giants are in the chip. They have three infielders on the right side. Sanford taking a little time as he looks in. Here's a 1-1 pitch. Outside again. Just off the corner with a good fastball. Ball two in strike one. I would imagine in this spot that Maris will be going to right field. The first two times he was going to left, but batting now with two outs and no one on, he has but one thing in mind. That's to try to hit the ball out of the ballpark. Sanford ready. The 2-1 pitch. There's a tap down the first baseline. Cepeda picks it up. The race to the bag. Orlando wins it. No runs, no hits, no errors, no one left. And the score at the end of the first half of the sixth inning. The Yankees won, the Giants nothing.
This original 1962 World Series broadcast will continue on the NBC Radio Network.
St. Louis.
When you're faced with tedious grass trimming chores, stand up to your lawn with a Weed Eater trimmer from True Value Hardware Stores. Hi, Pat Summerall to tell you the Snippy model is the ideal choice for average lawns because it quickly trims a 10-inch path and weighs just 3.5 pounds for less tiring operation. For larger jobs, get the Weed Eater Needy trimmer that trims and sweeps a 16-inch path. Both of these time and work savers feature tap-and-go heads and are available at participating True Value Hardware Stores and Home Centers.
NBC Radio Sports is presenting a classic World Series broadcast. Game 7 of 1962, featuring superstars Willie Mays, Willie McCovey, Mickey Mantle, and Roger Maris.
Well, we go into the bottom of the sixth inning. The Yankees out in front of the Giants by a score of 1-0 here in the seventh game of the 1962 World Series. Boy, this is it. You play all season long, and you come right down to one big ball game. And another capacity house here in Candlestick Park today, watching this seventh game.
The attendance exactly as was yesterday, George, 43,948.
They jammed everybody they could get in yesterday. They all come back today. And I'll tell you something, Joe, there's a lot of people downtown wanting to come. He said, sir. Jimmy Davenport will lead off for the Giants. He'll be followed by Pagan and then Jack Sanford. Harry delivers. Right. He got the fastball over around the knees. Davenport up to the second baseman, his first time at bat. And he's a right-handed batter. There's a one strike pitch. A curveball hit on the ground foul down the third baseline. And rolling to the bullpen in right field, left field. A strike two count. Ralph Perry against Jack Sanford. Third meeting in this series for these two pitchers. Here's a two-strike pitch. Ball. He got it outside. 1-2 to Davenport. That pitch was close. Perry trying to get Davenport to swing at a bad one. Yankees playing straight away. Not too deep. Ralph into the windup. Here's a 1-2 pitch. High foul ball. This will be out of play. Coming over behind the Giant dugout. Still one ball, two strikes. The Yankees picked up a run in the fifth inning. That's been the only scoring in the ball game. They used two singles and a walk to load the bases. Then Kubek hit into a fast double play. Cowan coming in with a run. Here's the pitch. Another foul ball. Almost the same spot. Still one ball, two strikes.
Landis, the umpire behind the plate, moving out, throws a new ball out to Ralph Terry. Ralph gets ready, the pitch. Curve, it's way up high. That'll even the count at 2-2. Jimmy Davenport, leadoff man for the Giants in the sixth inning. Jimmy with a 158 batting average. He's been to the plate 20 times in this series. He's had three hits. He's been a sterling performer at third base for the Giants. Here's the 2-2 pitch. High pop fly outside of first. Darren is chasing. If this is going to be trouble, it is embassy. Back in the first row. Darren and Bobby Richardson chasing it over near the barrier. Landed in the first row. Still 2-2 to Davenport. You remember Jimmy's first trip. He fouled off about 8 or 9 pitches. And he's right back at it again. Jimmy chokes the bat as he waits on Terry. There's the 2-2 pitch. Outside. Nelson Howard was ready to fire down to third. He thought he had a call third strike, but Landis said it was off the corner. So it's 3-2 to Davenport.
Now he's taking a little time. Walked out in front of the plate, flipped the ball back to Terry. There's a high fly ball, hit the left field. First going back, now he is moving in, shading his eyes in the sun, and he makes the catch. Jimmy Davenport, out on a high fly ball to Tommy Trash in left field. That's one of those, George, you talk about the wind wasn't going to be out of here. Moose Town was talking about wanting it yesterday, and Davenport hit the ball well, but right into that wind, and forget about it. That's a tough spot that went out of here today. I tell you, Joe, this Ralph Terry knows what he's doing out there. He's taking advantage of this wind. Getting that fastball up around their letters, letting them get it up in the air. So it's going to be tough to hit one out of here today. Jose Pagan, the batter. He bounced the boys at third base the first time he batted. Jose, a right-handed batter. 4-12 batting average starting the series. There's a high fly ball down the third baseline. This is serving over near the seats. Boyer's chasing it, but it's going back in the crowd. We always look for those escape valves as far as outfield are concerned. For example, in the stadium, it's right center and left center. In the polo ground, dead center field, make them hit that way. Here in this ballpark, with this wind blowing it is, the way it is today, it would be from the left field foul line all the way over to right center field. Because it is a tough one blowing it in. You can hit that ball up and in to the right hand hitter. Let him hit it that way. Ralph Terry looking in.
Pagan waiting. Here's the pitch.
He swings and pops it up outside of third. Boyer is chasing it. The wind is bringing it over near the seats. He's there and makes the catch. Boy, Elston Howard is right there with him, too.
Kelly has picked up some pointers,
Joe, in this play. He goes all the way down
as he knows the wind is
bringing it back the whole way. Can't wait to see where that ball's going to land. You better take off. Good name is sitting for this ballpark. Rupert Dead of the Braves had a good one. He says that this is the only ballpark where you can sit in a dugout and read the morning paper as it blows by. Well, there's two down, and the batter will be Jack Sanford, the pitcher. Jack flied the mound his first time at bat. He swings and lines it in the right field. Jack Sanford broke the spell with a line single in the center field. And on a dry day, that ball might have skipped Fireman all the way. So the Giants have a runner at first base with two outs, and the batter will be Philippe Alou. Philippe has fouled the first and flied the left in 2 steps. Takes the fastball down low. One ball and a strike.
A runner at first with two outs. We're in the bottom of the sixth. The Yankees lead 1-0. Terry has just given up his first hit, and the Giants have their first base run in the game. A pitch to Alou. A bouncing ball down the third baseline. Boyer will have to hurry. The throw, he got him. A slow bounder to third. Boyer flips it over to Scowen. No runs on one hit. There were no errors. One man left. And the score at the end of six. The Yankees won and the Giants nothing.
We'll be back with more exciting action from the seventh game of the 1962 World Series after this. Now, more action from Game 7 of the 1962 World Series.
Well, we're going to the seventh inning. The Yankees in front of the Giants, 1-0. It'll be Elston Howard to lead off for New York. He'll be followed by Bill Sharon and then Cleet Boyer. He's been to the plate twice. He bounced to the third baseman in the second inning and popped to the shortstop in the fourth inning. The only scoring in this ball game coming in the fifth inning. The Yankees loaded the bases with no one out on two singles and a walk, and Kubek bounced into a double play. The run coming across. One run, three hits, and no errors for New York. No runs on one hit, and no errors for the Giants. Sanford taking a little time. Jack was a base runner in the sixth inning. He's a little slow getting back to the mound. Here's the pitch. Ball. It's down low. One ball and no strike. Well, you talk about the pressure on the ball game in the seventh game of the series. How about the umpires, especially the fellow behind the plate, Stan Landis? He's got a lot of important calls to make today. Here's a strike. That's ball coming in around the knees. Like the old saying, George, when they do the great job, you hardly even know they're out there. We hardly recognize them because of the outstanding job that all of them have done. Here's a 1-1 pitch. A high pop fly down the right field line. This is curving back into the crowd. Philippe Alou chasing it. He had no chance to get it. One ball, two strikes. Howard, Scowen, and Boyer will be the Yankee batters here in the seventh inning. They lead the Giants 1-0. Taking a look in to Tom Howard. Well, he's choking the bat a little bit with two strikes. Here's the pitch. Ball, it's in tight. That's ball coming in high and tight. A ball two and a strike two count. Giants playing deep and around to the left for Elston Howard. Here's the 2-2 pitch. Outside. He tried to get the corner with a slider. 3-2 to Ellie. Moose Sharon is waiting in the on-deck circle. Yankees batting in the seventh inning. They lead 1-0. No one out, no one on. A full count to the catcher Howard. Here's the pitch. He swings and bounces it foul down the third baseline. Still 3-2. Sanford with a new baseball, rubbing it up, taking a little time. Jack has been a slow and deliberate pitcher here today in this all-important ball game. Here's the pitch. A ground foul right at the plate. Ball bounced up, hit Howard, and Howard grabbed it on the first hop. Still 3-2.
Howard talking to himself as he walked away from home plate. It looked like he had his pitch and just didn't hit it. One of the real joys of catching is listening to the conversation of these hitters when they talk to themselves. Hank Fowler, who is with this giant organization, one of the best. He'd talk and he'd answer himself and he'd always get on himself pretty good.
Here's the pitch. A swing and a miss. And stuck it out. Jack Sanford coming in with a curveball on the 3-2 pitch. And Elston Howard strikes out. That's one away. And the batter will be Bill Scowen. Well, Moose has had one hit in two sips today. Bounced to the shortstop in the second inning, singled in the fifth. Sanford ready. Here's the pitch. Here's a high fly ball hit into deep center field. May's going back. Now he's going to have to come in the left center. And McCovey is there, finally, to make the play. Willie Mays chased that one all over the outfield. And finally, Willie McCovey in left center made the play. George, I've seen some outfield players during the course of this year where at times you think you're watching an old Keystone Cop movie. One fellow will be ready to make the play, and zing, somebody will cut in front of him and make it. And there you saw Willie ready to make it, and McCovey made it easily. Wind is a big factor here. McCovey acts like he had it all the way, and Mays had been chasing it all over the outfield. Well, they sit down, and the batter will be Cleet Boyer. Cleet one for two in this game. Takes a strike around the letters. Boyer hit the ball hard both times. He lined to a little in right field in the third inning. In the fifth inning, he lined a long single in the left center. On a dry day, it would have been an extra base hit and would have driven in a run. Here's a ground ball hit up the middle. Pagan can't get it. It goes into center field. Boyer getting his second hit. A ground ball through the middle to center field. Now, that's a big play for the Yankees, Joe. Get that pitcher up and out of there. They're bringing that pitcher to the plate here instead of making him a leadoff man in the eighth inning. Well, we're waiting right now for Cleary to come on.
That's why an eighth spot is always such a tough one, George. You don't get that good ball ahead if you have a fellow in point position. You have to widen your strike zone and try to drive it in. And in a spot like this, you got to go for the unexpected pitch to get that base hit and hope you get your pitcher up there and not make a leadoff man out of him.
Nice round of applause for Terry as he comes on. Boy, he's been quite a pitcher here today. He has allowed one hit, and that's been the only base runner for the Giants. Boyer at first base with two outs. The pitch to Terry.
A pass, one ball, no strike.
Ralph struck out in the third inning, and in the fifth inning, he drew a walk. Terry told me before the ball game today he had one big ambition, that's to get a hit in the series. Here's the pitch. A ground ball hit in the left field. There's his base hit just out of the reach of Davenport. And Ralph Terry comes through with a ground single to left. Well, the Yankees, after the first two batters have been retired here in the seventh inning, are threatening. They have runners at first and second. Two outs, and the batter will be Tony Kubek. A tip number five for New York. Kubek had one hit in three trips today. By the center field in the first inning. Singled in the third. Get into a double play in the fifth.
Both times for the Giants jumped up again. The left-hander is Billy O'Dell and the right-hander Don Larson.
Two on, two out. Sanford taking a little time as he looks in. Here's the pitch to Kubek. Ball, it's up high. One ball and no strike. Sanford has been quite a pitcher here today. I'd say the only difference in this performance today and the other two that he's given in this World Series, he's been high today. He has not been able to get the ball down around the knees
as he would like to do.
Here's a 1-0 pitch. There's a liner down the left field line. McCovey is chasing it. It's serving foul back into the crowd. Boy, Willie is playing him right over there on the line.
One ball, one strike. Kubek will hit a lot of balls in the left field. I'll tell you another thing right here, Joe. It's going to be tough for Boyer to score on a base hit to the outfield unless he pulls it into right. Now, Mays and McCovey are both playing in close. Manfred gets that. Here's the 1-1 pitch. There's a high fly ball hit in the left center field. McCovey and Mays are both there. McCovey is calling for it. He's got it to side to side. No runs on two hits. No errors. Two men left. And the score is the first half of the seventh inning.
Game 7 of the World Series of 1962 continues after this.
Now listen, but listen quick, because it comes and goes just like that. The Pennzoil Chaparral, driven by national champion Johnny Rutherford. Here it comes again, all bright and brilliant in its traditional Pennzoil yellow color. That's a $40,000 engine that just roared by, turning out 9,500 torturous RPM, does it mile after mile after hard-running mile, race after race after race. The Pennzoil Chaparral. It has Pennzoil written on it and Pennzoil in it. Protection for a winner. Pennzoil Motor Oil. Protection for cars like the Chaparral and cars like yours. Ask for it.
You're listening to a classic World Series from the archives of NBC Radio Sports. Game 7 of the World Series of 1962.
Now he's going to the bottom of the seventh inning. The Giants trailing the Yankees by a score of 1-0. He'll be Chuck Killer to lead off for San Francisco. He'll be followed by Willie Mays and then Willie McCovey. The crowd standing here for the seventh inning stretch, and they are singing with a band as they are playing in deep center field. Probably the Giants' fight song. It's hard for us to pick it up here in the radio booth. Chuck Killer, the batter, he's 0-2 in the game. Here's the pitch. He bounced it up in the air. Terry spears it. A good play by Terry. Had the ball gotten over his head, more than likely Hiller would have been on. But Terry, moving back of the mound, reached up and speared the pop fly. So there's one away, and the batter is Willie Mays. Willie's off at two. He flied to left and flied to center in two steps. The Yankees deep and around to the left. Or Willie Mays. Terry delivers the curveball. He lines it down the left field line. Trace racing into the corner. He got it, a one-handed catch by Trace. He caught the ball, then went out of our sight, back into the corner, but he hung on to it in the webbing of his glove. Willie Mays making a bid for an extra base hit into the corner in left field is robbed on a fine play by Tommy Trace. Two down, and the batter will be Willie McCovey. Boy, it's amazing how this kid, Tom Trace, has made the move from the infield to the outfield, and he has not missed a step. He has taken it in stride. Which is one of the plays of this series right there. Willie McCovey, the batter. Willie has fouled to the catcher and tried to left in two trips. Here's the pitch. It's a long foul ball down the right field line and will go all the way out of the park. A one strike count for Willie. Bill Stafford, a right-hander, and Bud Daly, a left-hander, throwing in the bullpen. Manager Ralph House wants to keep them ready. Terry gets ready. A pitch to McCovey. Ball down low. He sets his swing on a slow curve. One ball, one strike. The Giants are batting in the seventh inning. There's two outs with no one on. The Yankees lead 1-0. Here's the 1-1 pitch. He swings and hits a drive into deep center. Now he's chasing it. He's better. He can't get it. All the way to the fence. Here's McCovey going in the second. He's going to try for three. Slammed one 410 feet away over Mickey Mantle's head into deep center field, and he is raced into third base with a stand-up triple. In fact, he made a big turn at third base that he might come on in, but he was very wisely held up by Whitey Lockman. So the Giants have a tying run at third base with two outs, and the batter will be Orlando Cepeda. Elston Howard taking a little time right now as he goes out to the mound for a short conference with his pitcher. The ball hit by McCovey was on a line. It never did get very high. The wind had no chance
takes it back. A runner at third with two outs. Gary ready. Here's the pitch. Cepeda takes the fastball up high. One ball and a strike. Orlando struck out in the second, off to Bobby Richardson in the fifth inning. Gary taking a little time, looks in, he got the sign. It's a 1-0 pitch. He swings and hits a high foul that'll be out of play down the right field line. One ball, one strike. The Yankees won, the Giants nothing. We're in the seventh inning. Willie McCovey is at third base with two outs. It's only the second hit given up by Ralph Gary. Well, this crowd has come alive, as you can hear. They are roaring, wanting Cepeda to come through. Here's a 1-1 pitch. A swing and a miss on a bad serve ball. He foul tipped it to Sam Lambert right into the mitt. Gary delivering a low outside serve. That's Cepeda to bite. One ball, two strikes. Straight away, everybody back on the infield. Here's a 1-2 pitch. Foul ball. This will be out of play. Terry's trying to get the fastball by him. Evidently figuring that Cepeda would be looking for a serve, but Orlando had a ripple at it. Still one ball, two strikes. Once again, Howard going out to the mound for a conference with Terry. It's going to take a little time right now as he stands on the mound talking to Ralph Gary. Action in the Yankee bullpen. Bill Stafford, the right-hander, and Bud Daly, a left-hander, are throwing. Boy, this is it. There's no saving anybody for tomorrow or next week. This is the seventh ball game of the 62 World Series. Gary gets ready. Here's the 1-2 pitch. A swing and a miss, and struck him out. Cepeda going for a high fastball, strikes out. No runs on one hit, there were no errors, one man left, and the score at the end of seven, the Yankees won, the Giants nothing.
Back with more action from this classic World Series game of 1962 after this. NBC Radio is presenting a rebroadcast of Game 7 of the 1962 World Series, the New York Yankees versus the San Francisco Giants.
Well, at the end of 7, the Yankees have one run on 5 hits, and they have no errors. The Giants have no run on 2 hits, and they have no errors. As Sanford gets ready to go here in the 8th inning, the Giant bullpen comes alive again. Billy O'Dell, a left-hander, and Stu Miller, a right-hander, are throwing. They have been throwing along with Don Larson throughout the afternoon. Well, Bobby Richardson will lead it off. Bobby has walked twice and fouled to the first baseman. So officially, he's 0-for-1 in this game. Sanford gets ready. Here's the pitch to Bobby. He swings and hits a high hopper to the shortstop. Pagan has it to throw to first. He is safe at first base. The throw was up high. It got away from Cepeda. And Bobby Richardson is safe at first. It'll be an error. Charged against the shortstop. Well, the Yankees have a runner at first base. There's no one out, and the batter will be Tommy Stretch. Sanford taking a little time as he goes over to talk to his third baseman, Davenport, probably discussing the bunt situation that very definitely is in order here. The Yankees lead by one. We're in the 8th inning. Bobby Richardson at first base with no one out. And Whitey Ford is throwing in the bullpen for the Yankees. How about that? Whitey was a starting pitcher in yesterday's ball game. He's warming up today. Sanford gets set. Here's the pitch to Trace. Strike. He got the fastball over the outside corner. Tommy squared around. He was ready to bunt. Pulled the bat back, and Stan Landis went up to the right hand. Well, with Mantle and Maris coming up, Manager Ralph Houck wants to move Bobby Richardson down in the scoring position. Sanford ready. Here's the pitch. Outside. Price is ready to bunt. One ball, one strike. Davenport is playing in close to third. Jimmy's about five steps in front of the bag and moves in as Sanford delivers. Cepeda holding a Augusta runner, and he'll move in with the pitch. Tommy Stretch, batting left-handed, waiting on Sanford. Here's a 1-1 pitch. He bunts, it is foul. This one is rolling behind the plate. One ball, two strikes. Tommy is trying to get the bunt down the first baseline as Davenport is racing in from third. It would almost be suicide to bunt the ball to him. Fouls it back. One ball and two strikes. Sanford working slowly here in the eighth inning. Yankees with a one-run lead have a runner at first base, no one out. Here's the pitch. Outside. Fresh checked his swing just in time on a fastball that was off the corner. That'll even the count at 2-2. Mickey Mantle is waiting in the on-deck circle. Sanford checks his runner. The pitch. Outside again. Once again, Jack trying to thread the needle on the outside corner is missed. So it's 3-2 to Trace. Well, we'll watch the runner. He might be moving on his 3-2 pitch. Sanford has picked a runner off first base today, so Bobby Richardson, of course, is going to be mighty careful getting a lead. Sanford gets set. That's a quick throw to first. Bobby back in time. The full count to Tommy Stretch. A runner at first base, no one out. Here's the pitch. There goes the runner. Here's a liner. One hop to the shortstop. It gets away from him. Here's a throw to first. He's safe at first base. Stretch hit that one like a bullet. A low liner that hit right in front of Pagan. Bounced out of his glove over towards second base. He picked it up, made the throw to first, but it was not in time to get Stretch. It'll be an infield single for Tommy. Base hit number six for the Yankees, puts runners at first and second with no one out. And the batter will be Mickey Mantle. Well, there's the value of moving on the 3-2 pitch. Had Richardson not been moving, he would have been an easy out at second base. But Pagan, realizing he had no chance to get Bobby, hurried his throw to first base, but it was too late to get Trey. So two on, no one out, and Mickey Mantle the batter. Mickey's 0 for 2 in this game. He walked his last time. Sanford gets set. Here's a pitch to Mantle. Ball in tight. One ball and no strike. Well, Davenport is playing in close to third. Jimmy's ready for the bunt in case Mickey bunts. Cepeda, Hiller, and Pagan are playing about halfway. They are not looking for the bunt. In fact, Cepeda is deeper than anybody else on the infield. Sanford checks his runners. Here's a 1-0 pitch. A swing and a foul. This one back into the crowd. One ball, one strike. The good thing about having a batter like Mantle at the plate, in a bunch situation, you don't have to worry too much about a double play ball, as Mickey has such tremendous speed. That doesn't mean he cannot hit into a double play, but the chances are against it. So instead of a bunt play, as in this situation, manager Ralph Houck can let Mickey swing away, figuring that he'll still move at least one runner up. Here's a 1-1 pitch. Outside. Ball two and strike one. Billy O'Dell, a left-hander, is still throwing in the bullpen, and Don Larson has replaced Stu Miller for the Giants. So it's Larson and O'Dell, a right-hander and a left-hander. Mickey Mantle right down on the end of the bat, waiting on Jack Sanford. There's two on with no one out here in the eighth inning. The Yankees lead the Giants by a score of 1-0. They've out-hit the Giants 6-2. Bobby Richardson is down at second base. Tommy Trash at first base. Sanford gets ready. Here's the 2-1 pitch. A swing and a miss. Low curveball around the knees, and Mantle had a ripple at it. A ball two and a strike two down. Roger Maris is waiting in the on-deck circle. Shepard taking a lot of time. Looks in to Tom Howler to get the sign. Looks back to second to check his runner. Here's the pitch. Down low, he's got the curve in the dirt. Nice pickup by Howler, who went down on both knees to block it. So it's 3-2 to Mantle. Will the runners be moving on this 3-2 pitch? We'll wait and see. It paid off for Ralph House when he had Richardson running on a 3-2 pitch to Trey. So we'll check him again. Sanford checking the sign. Shaking his head yes to Tom Howler. Here's the 3-2 pitch. There's a liner to right field. It's in there. Bobby Richardson coming to third, but he's going to be held up. Missy Mantle lined the ball just out of the reach of the second baseman, Hiller. Now, Bobby Richardson had started back to second. He thought Hiller might catch the ball. So he was held up at third. So the bases are loaded with no one out, and here's Al Dart coming out. We might get a pitching change here. I believe we are. He is giving the call to the bullpen, and it's going to be Billy O'Dell. Applause here at Candlestick Park in San Francisco, and Scott Sanford leaves the mound. And he has been a tremendous pitcher for the San Francisco Giants this year, not only here in the World Series, but throughout the season. And they're giving him a standing applause as he leaves the mound. The Yankees have loaded the bases here in the eighth inning with no one out. An error and two singles have filled the sacks, and Billy O'Dell, a left-hander, will be coming on to pitch to Roger Maris. This will be O'Dell's third appearance in the World Series. He started the first ball game. He has a record of no wins and one defeat. He starts with a loss in the first game. He's pitched 10 and one-third innings, giving up 12 hits. Six runs have all been earned. He's walked three and struck out eight. Billy pitched in relief in the fourth game of the series and saved that ball game. Don Larson was the winning pitcher. So Billy completes his warm-up tosses. Roger Maris steps in. The base is loaded with no one out. The Yankees leading 1-0. The hit by Mantle was number 7 off Sanford. Yankees are out hit the Giants 7-2. Well, Al Dart doesn't want to give up another run. He is playing his infield in close with the bases loaded and no one out. Maris is 0-3 in this game. Here's the first pitch. Nice, he's got a fastball over. One strike for the Rock. He lined to third, bounced to third, and bounced to the first baseman. Richardson, Trice, and Mantle are the Yankee base runners. O'Dell ready. Here's the pitch. A ground ball hit to the second baseman. Dillard coming to the plate with it. He's out. That's the first. He's safe on a close play. Almost a double play. Maris hit the ball to Chuck Hiller, who fired it. Then to Howler, who stepped on the plate and fired it right back to Cepeda at first. Maris beats the relay. So Raj is safe on the fielder's choice. The base is still loaded, one out, and Elston Howard will be the batter. Al Dart has raced out of the dugout. He has a right-hander throwing in the bullpen, but there'll be no pitching change. He's going along with Billy O'Dell, a left-hander, against the right-handed hitter, Elston Howard. Kelly's 0-3 in this game. Counts the third, pops the short, and struck out. O'Dell gets ready. Here's the pitch to Howard. Nice. That's ball over the outside corner. The Giants trying to get out of a jam here in the eighth inning. The Yankees have the bases loaded with one out. O'Dell into the windup. Here's the pitch. High foul ball. This will be out of play, coming back into the lower deck. Strike two. Well, Billy's coming on with the bases loaded and no one out. Got Roger Maris to bounce to the second baseman. Worked out at the plate. Now it's a strike two count to Elston Howard. A Odell catching the sign. Here's the two-strike pitch. There's a ground ball at third. Might be a double play. Steps on the bag to throw. He's out.
This original 1962 World Series broadcast will continue on the NBC Radio Network.
Hi, Pat Summerall. You know, the trouble with buying paint is that you really don't know how it's going to look or last until after you've painted. That's why True Value Hardware stores make their own true test paints. Regardless of your needs and budget, your True Value Hardware store dealer can help you choose the best possible paint in the colors you want at the price you can afford to pay. His knowledge also extends to knowing which applicators will give you the best results from quality True Test paints, available only at participating True Value Hardware stores. NBC Radio Sports is presenting a classic World Series broadcast, Game 7 of 1962, featuring superstars Willie Mays, Willie McCovey, Mickey Mantle, and Roger Maris.
Now, Billy O'Dell coming on in relief with the bases loaded and no one out, turned in a sparkling job, got out of it without a run, so it's still a 1-0 ball game, and the Yankees leading as they go into the bottom of the eighth inning. Tom Haller will be the leadoff man. He'll be followed by Jimmy Davenport, then Jose Pagan. Al Perry taking a little extra time as he goes through his warm-up coffee. Action in the Yankee bullpen. Bud Daly, a left-hander, and Bill Trafford, a right-hander. They have been throwing off and on throughout the ballgame. Nothing. The Yankees lead. We're in the bottom of the eighth inning of the seventh game of the 1962 World Series. Tom Haller has popped to short and bounced to the pitcher in two trips. Here's Perry's first pitch. There's a fly ball in the left center field. Price is racing in. Barry makes the catch. Tom Haller goes out on the first pitch to stretch in left center. That's one away, and the batter will be Jimmy Davenport. Jimmy just made a fine play on a hard-hit ground ball off the bat of Elston Howard. Kept on third base, flipped it to first, turning it into a fast double play. Jimmy has popped to second and flied to left in two trips today. Harry taking a little time. Gets the sign, here's the pitch. Ball, it's down low. One ball in his sight. The Yankees picked up a run in the fifth inning. That's been the only scoring in the game. It's a 1-0 pitch. High pop fly on the infield. Here's Boyer coming into foul ground, calling for it. He's there, makes the catch. Jimmy Davenport fouls to the third baseman. Well, there's two down. And Jose Pagan is scheduled to be the batter, but we're going to get a pinch batter. I believe it's Ed Bailey. We'll check it to be sure. Ed Bailey, left-handed hitting pitcher, is coming on. Here's the announcement coming over the public address. So Al Dart trailing by one run here in the eighth inning, sending up a left-handed batter for his shortstop, Pagan. Batting with two outs and no one on. He's taking a little time before he gets in. Perry just waiting for Bailey to get set. Kept the sign. Here's the first pitch. Curveball. He got it over. One strike. Ralph pulled the string on him. Yankees are deep and around to the right for Bailey. It is strictly a pull hitter. He's out of the box for just a moment, just back in. Bobby Richardson right on the edge of the outfield grass. Here's a one strike pitch. He checked his swing on a low curve, says Stan Lambert. One ball, one strike. The Yankees have one run on seven hits and no errors. The Giants have no runs on two hits. They've committed one error. Terry still looking in. Pounds the ball in his glove. Here's a 1-1 pitch. A foul ball. It's back on the screen. Terry coming in with a fastball around the letters. One ball, two strikes. Terry retired the first 17 batters he faced here today before Sanford singled with two outs in the sixth inning. And he gave up a triple to McCovey with two outs in the seventh inning. And the only two Giant hits. One ball and two strikes to Bailey. Here's the pitch. Down low. And we're even the count at 2-2. Terry trying to get Bailey to go for a bad pitch. Bailey batting for Jose Pagan here in the bottom of the eighth with two outs and no one on. Ed getting out just as Terry got ready. Now we're ready again. Here's the 2-2 pitch. Foul ball. This one back in the crowd. Still 2-2. In the fifth inning, the Yankees used two singles and a walk to load the bases. Then Kubek bounced to the shortstop for Gunn, who made the double play. Cowan coming in to score the only run of this ball game. Yankees had the bases loaded in the eighth inning with no one out, but they failed to score. Here's the 2-2 pitch. There's a fly ball hit outside of first base. Cowan is coming over. He's got the room on it. Still chasing it. He makes the catch. Ed Bailey fouls to the first baseman. No runs, no hits, no errors, no one left, and the score at the end of eight. The Yankees won, the Giants nothing.
We'll be back with more exciting action from the seventh game of the 1962 World Series after this. And now, more action from Game 7 of the 1962 World Series.
It's the ninth inning here at Candlestick Park, and the Yankees are leading by a score of 1-0. Boy, you couldn't ask for a finer ball game in the final game of the World Series. Bill Starin will lead off for the Yankees. He'll be followed by Boyer and then Terry. Here's a fastball up high. One ball and a strike. Billy O'Dell pitching in relief of Jack Sanford, who turned in another great performance here today in his third World Series start. The pitch in the dirt, scooped up by Heller. A ball two and a no strike count. O'Dell came on in the eighth inning with the bases loaded and no one out. He got Maris on a ground ball to the second baseman. The play was made at the plate. And then Howard hit into a fast double play. Here's the 2-0 pitch to Scarron. He swings and fouls it off. From sailing back into the upper deck behind the Giant dugout. It's a ball two and a strike one count. Now, Billy O'Dell didn't like the baseball. He wants a new one. Tosses it in, and Stan Landon sends a new one out to the mound. Moose is waiting. Here's the 2-1 pitch. Down low. That's the fastball. Low and in. 3-1 to Scarron. O'Dell taking a little time as he looks into Howard. Here's the 3-1 pitch. He swings and hits a long fly ball down the left field line that's serving foul and going back into the crowd. So it's 3-2 to Scarron. Lead off man for the Yankees in the ninth inning. They lead the Giants 1-0 here in the seventh game. Boy, this is it. Right down to the wire. new shortstop for the Giants here in the ninth inning is Ernie Bowman. Pagan went out for the pinch batter, Ed Bailey. And Ernie Bowman has gone in to play shortstop. Odell taking a lot of time here on the 3-2 pitch. Ready? Here it is. A ground ball hit to the shortstop. Bowman has it. Here's the throw to first. He's out. Bill Starin goes out. Starts to first. That's one away, and the batter will be Cletus Boyer. Cletus 2-for-3 in this game. He lined to right field in the third inning. Single in the fifth and again in the seventh. His single in the fifth inning was a key blow that sent Starin all the way to third, where he scored on the double play ball. The ninth is one out with no one on. Yankees one, the Giants nothing. The pitch to Boyer hit hard to third. Davenport knocks it down. Here's the throw to first. He's out. Another good play by Jimmy Davenport as Boyer sent a screamer down the third baseline. Jimmy blocked it. Ball rolled out in front of him. He picked it up, made the throw to Cepeda. A two down, and here's Ralph Terry. Highly partisan crowd here in Candlestick Park giving a roaring salute to Ralph Terry as he comes on to bat here in the top of the ninth. Ralph has been a tremendous pitcher for the Yankees. He's had one hit in the ball game. Odell delivers, he fouls it back. One strike. Ralph has struck out, walked, and singled. So he's 1-for-2. Right-handed batter. Facing the left-hander, Billy Odell. The pitch. He swings and misses on a curve. Strike two. Two outs with no one on. We're in the top of the ninth inning. The Yankees lead by one.
With more exciting action from the seventh game of the 1962 World Series after this. More action from Game 7 of the 1962 World Series.
Well, it's the bottom of the ninth inning, and this is it. The Giants are trailing the Yankees by a score of 1-0. Matty Alou has moved out of the dugout. He'll be batting for Billy Odell. Matty Alou, a left-handed batter, will be batting for Billy Odell, leading off for the Giants here in the bottom of the ninth inning. He'll be followed by his brother, Philippe Alou, and then the second baseman, Chuck Gillis. Ralph Terry completes his warm-up charges. Howard goes down to second. And everybody moves forward on the edge of their seat for this bottom of the ninth inning, with the Yankees leading 1-0. Matty Alou, a little left-handed batter leading off. There's action in both bullpens. Billy Pierce throwing in the bullpen for the Giants. Bill Stafford and Bud Daly for the Yankees.
Terry taking a little time. He wants to be sure his defensive alignment is where he wants him to play a loose. Here's the pitch to Matty. Ball, it's outside. One ball and no strike. A 1-0 ball game right down to the wire here in the bottom of the ninth inning. Here's the 1-0 pitch. A high pop fly outside of first base. It may blow into the seats. Howard is chasing it near the dugout. He can't make a play. He went right into the giant dugout. Elson Howard, boy, was staying with it. He went right into the giant dugout all the way. But he couldn't quite make the play, so it's one ball and one strike to elude. That ball at one time was near the foul line, but the strong breeze blowing kept tearing it away from Howard and just out of his reach. Boynton at third base is playing it on the grass. Everybody else back on the infield. Here's the 1-1 pitch. Curve ball. It's too low. A ball two and a strike one count. Matty Alou in a pinch hitting role in game number four had a key double down the left field line. Boyer, of course, has to play him in close. He's one of the fastest base runners in this series. Here's the pitch. He bounced down the first baseline. Terry chasing it. He can't get it. Number three for the Giants puts the tying run at first base with no one out, and the batter will be Philippe Alou. The Yankees are looking for the bunt. Boyer moving in close to third base. Here's a pitch. He bunts it up in the air. Howard chasing it. He can't get it. One strike to Philippe. Giants, of course, trying to move this tying run down to second base. We have Diller and Willie Mays coming up. The 1-0 ball game here in the ninth. The Yankees leading. Alou at first base. No one out. It's Matty Alou at first base. Philippe Alou, the batter, with a one strike count. There's a token toss over to first base. Terry just reminding Alou that he's keeping an eye on him. Just that. Here's a pitch. He swings and fouls it back. Alou had a ripple at a high fastball. He was trying to drill that one by Boyer at third base. Fouled it back on the screen. So Terry is out in front with a strike two count. And Elson Howard calls time, races out to the mound for a conversation with Terry. Bill Stafford, a right-hander. And Bud Daly, a left-hander, throwing in the bullpen. Howard coming back behind the plate. Terry gets that. Here's the pitch. A swing and a miss. He struck him out. Philippe Alou goes down swinging. That's one away, and the batter will be Chuck Hiller. For three. He bounced to first, slide to center, and he popped to the pitcher, trying to beat out a bunt in the seventh inning. Well, the Giants have one of their fastest base runners, if not their fastest, at first base. He's carrying the tying run. One out here in the bottom of the ninth inning. Boy, you can almost feel the tension all the way here to the radio booth. A pitch to Hiller. He swings and pops it up. It's going to be out of play. This one is drifting back into the crowd. One strike to Judge. Ralph Perry all the way for the Yankees. Jack Sanford, the starting pitcher for the Giants today. Billy O'Dell relieves him in the eighth inning. It's a one strike count to Chuck Yeller.
Matty Alou at first base. One out, bottom of the ninth inning. Matty's taking a big lead at first. Terry checks him. Here's the pitch. He bunts down the third baseline. It's foul.
Boy, there was a dandy.
Miller placed a bunt down the third baseline. He just rolled outside the line. Boy, you had no chance to get him. Waite was playing in close, but this was a perfect bunt. So it's a strike two count to Hiller. Once again, Howard, out to the mound for a conference of series. Everything riding here in the bottom of the ninth inning. Howard coming back behind the plate. Terry checks his runner at first. The pitch. Foul ball back in the crowd. Ralph trying to get the fastball by him around the letters. Hiller fouled it back. Well, Billy Pierce is throwing in the bullpen for the Giants. If they tie it up or go ahead, more than likely he'll be the pitcher. Terry gets that. Here's the pitch. There's another foul ball coming back to the crowd. A strike two count to Chuck Hiller. The amazing thing about these pitches to Hiller with two strikes on him, Terry has come right in there with good fastballs. He is not trying to make Hiller go for a bad pitch. He tried to overpower him with two good fastballs, figuring that Chuck had to be expecting most anything in this spot. Ralph taking the look in. That's the runner at first base. Here's a pitch. Foul ball. This one off to the left, rolling to the Yankee dugout. You know, the most helpless people in the ballpark in a situation like this are the ball players sitting in the dugout. There's nothing they can do, nothing at all, but just wait and hope. Those on the field or with a bat in their hand, they have a chance. They can do something. Chuck Hiller choking the bat, waiting. Here's the pitch. In the dirt. Nice pickup by Howard. That was a big play. Giants would like to move Alou down to second base. It's a ball one, strike two count to Chuck Hiller. Matty Alou opened this inning with a bunt single down the first baseline. Matty was batting for Billy O'Dell. Felipe Alou, after bunting and missing a pitch, swung at the next two and struck out. Now Chuck Hiller, the batter, one ball, two strikes. Terry delivers. A swing and a miss. He struck him out. Hiller goes down swinging on a low curveball. So there's two down, and it's all up to Willie Mays. And I would imagine if the Giants fans had their way in the ball club, this is the man they'd want to play. A runner at first base, two outs, and Willie Mays the batter. He has been the big man for this ball club, not only this year, but for 12 long years. So it'll be Terry against Mays. And that is matching strength against strength here in the bottom of the ninth inning. Willie has flied to left, flied to center, and Lyon deep to left. Fresh made a great play on him in the seventh inning to rob him of an extra base hit. Willie right down on the end of the bat. The pitch. Ball. It's inside. That's ball. 1-0 to Willie Mays. Matty Alou at first base for two outs. Boy, everybody has moved forward on the edge of their seat. Here's the pitch. Fastball in tight. Almost hit him with this one. A ball two and a no strike count. Terry coming in with two good fastballs, trying to get Willie on the fifth. Got him in a little bit too close. The Yankees deep. Around to the left and very deep in the outfield. Warrior deep and near the line at third base. A pitch to Willie Mays. He swings and lines it down the right of the line. That's what he's done now. Willie's on his way to second. The runner's going to be held at third base. Willie Mays lined one into the corner in right field. Matty Alou was held up at the last moment. It looked like he was going to make a try for it.
Bobby Richardson took the relay from Roger Maris and rifled a throw into Elston Howard. One hop, he would have had him at the plate. And Whitey Lockman very wisely held him up. So the Giants have runners at second and third with two outs. Willie McCovey, the batter, and here's Ralph House coming out to the mound. George Kell and Joe Garagiola at Candlestick Park in San Francisco. And this place is a madhouse right now. The Yankees lead 1-0, the bottom of the ninth. The Giants have runners at second and third with two outs, and Willie McCovey is the batter. Willie's had one hit. That was a long triple. Here's the pitch. He swings and sends a long ball to right field. Maris is chasing it. He's curving. Foul. It's going in the seat. Willie McCovey making a bid. Slammed one deep in the right. The ball did not have a distance to get out of the ballpark. Maris going over near the line, but it curved back into the crowd. Oh, it's one strike to Willie. And boy, everything is riding on every pitch here in the bottom of the ninth. McCovey fouled to the catcher, flagged to left, and tripled into deep center field. Big, tall, left-handed batter, right down on the end of the bat. Ralph Perry gets that. Here's the pitch to Willie. There's a liner strike to Richardson. The ball game is over and the World Series is over. Willie McCovey hit it like a bullet. A line drive right straight to Bobby Richardson at second base. Had that ball got out of his reach, the Giants would have been the winners. Now it's the Yankees who have mobbed Ralph Perry in the center of the diamond, and well, they should. What a pitcher Ralph Perry was here today. He pitched a four-hit shutout going right down to the bottom of the ninth. A line drive off the bat of Willie McCovey going straight into the glove of Bobby Richardson at second base. So in the bottom of the ninth, it's no run on two hits for the Giants. There were no errors, two men left. The final score of the ball game, the Yankees win it 1-0. This broadcast is authorized under broadcasting rights granted by the Commissioner of Baseball solely for the entertainment of our listening audience. And any publication, rebroadcast, or other use of the descriptions and accounts of this game without the express consent of the Commissioner is prohibited. Our engineer here today has been Don Hall. Our NBC producer has been Hal Ashby. And now to wind up this 1962 World Series broadcast, let's go down and pick up Joe Garagiola and some of those victorious Yankees. Joe is down in the Yankee clubhouse right now. Joe, take over. Hey, we're in the Yankee clubhouse here. Ralph Perry finally got him. Now you got him?
Yeah.
Ralph Perry of the New York Yankees here right now.
Joe, if you don't mind, I'd like to say this to Ralph. 2 years ago, a guy named Bill Mazeroski hit a home run in the last half of the ninth inning to win a World Series. And here now is Ralph Perry, who came back 2 years later to win the seventh game, and the skipper, Ralph House. Ralph, you waited 2 years for that one.
I'd like to say two things, pal. I think I'm probably the luckiest man in the country today. The guy hit the ball so hard. Right at him. I thank God for a second chance.
He really did his job, I tell you, Mel, and you really got to give these fellas a lot of credit. It was quite a series.
Whitey?
This is the greatest field in the world right here.
You were in that bullpen, my friend.
Wonderful, Joe. It's a good place for me.
Greatest field in the world, Joe. Really great.
You going to be resting for a while now?
Whitey, you were ready to come back, huh?
Well, Ralph asked me if I wanted to show, if they needed me later, but they had three other left-handers down here in Stafford ready.
This wasn't an easy one for you, huh?
No, I wish it could end it yesterday, but I'm glad the way it turned out.
May I have Joe Garagiola just a word with a guy who has been in the middle of a lot of these things, sometimes on the winning side, sometimes on the other side. That's Joe, tonight, Joe, a native of San Francisco, making his home back there now.
Joe, well, I want to tell you, Mel, it was a wonderful World Series, and I thought this, it wound up just the way I thought it would, just the last out. The Giants are a wonderful ball club, and just for that one line drive made the difference for winning and losing. And I will say this is a typical Yankee team. As far as this particular club, why, as long as the chips are down, it seems like they pick them up.
The 1962 World Series ended with the Yankees winning their 20th World Championship. How about that? And I'll be back with some closing words in just a moment. Again, it's Mel Allen. Stan, you know, it was a Yankee tradition to come through with a win when the chips were down. And that's kind of what they did back in 1962.
And it was a vindication for Ralph Terry.
Yes, that was because, as you and I have said before, Ralph Terry 2 years before was the GOAT.
And he came back to be the hero. I've always wanted to know from somebody, Mel, and can I ask you, I always wondered why Ralph Howe didn't have Willie McCovey perfectly passed in that ninth inning. To pitch to Orlando Cepeda, who wasn't particularly having a good series.
That's a good question, Stan. When you take a batter like Willie McCovey, he's always dangerous. He's a guy that can beat you. But as long as your pitcher is going pretty good and you hope that he keeps the ball away from that man's power, you've got a better chance of striking out a McCovey than you have a Cepeda. Cepeda also had power, but he could put the ball in play more frequently than McCovey. And less of a chance of striking out the Taylor. But fundamentally, here was the reason. Alou was on third and Mays was on second. There were two outs. Now, if you walk McCovey, now you're leading by only one run. That means you've got to get the ball over to place somewhere to the next hitter. And in the process of trying to perhaps keep the ball a little fine or not making too good a pitch, you might walk that next batter and then force in the tying run, which then would put the Giants in a position to perhaps win it in that ninth inning. So he decided just, according to the Yankee skipper, just decided to go ahead and take his chances with McCovey.
And to prove that baseball is a game of inches, McCovey almost won it.
I've never seen the ball hit any harder. If he'd have gotten up under that ball, it would have wound up not only over the right field fence, but it would have wound up on some ship sailing by out in the bay and might have wound up in the Orient somewhere. But I talked to Bobby Richardson afterwards, and he said, that ball came at me like a bullet. And he said, I was just scared to death it was going to bounce off my glove and hit me in the face and put me in a hospital. But he said, fortunately, it came right at me, and I sort of gave with it. It had been an inch or so either way, pure basis. And two runs would have scored on it.
And the Giants would have won the World Series.
Absolutely. But that's the World Series. That's baseball. And you do take chances in a given situation. Sometimes the percentage will work for you. Sometimes it won't. You know, Bobby Richardson tells me that sometimes he wakes up in the middle of the night with a nightmare. He dropped the ball. Please try it, fans, and be with us next week as NBC Radio keeps baseball on the air with World Series Classic. We really can't say if there's going to be a settlement in the baseball strike. I wish we knew something more about it. I certainly wish they would settle it. But as long as the strike does continue, NBC Radio will continue bringing you World Series Classic. Stan, what's on tap for next week?
Next week, Classic World Series from 1964, 65, and 68, Mel. We'll be listening to games featuring the St. Louis Cardinals, the Los Angeles Dodgers, the Minnesota Twins, the Detroit Tigers.
And the New York Yankees, Stan, don't forget that.
I wouldn't do that, Mel.
As a matter of fact, for such a long while, it'd be pretty tough doing any World Series in which the Yankees wouldn't have been at least half of the Fall Classic. I remember, for example, 1949 through 1964, the Yankees were in the World Series 14 times during out of 16 years. This program is authorized under rights granted by Major League Baseball and is presented by permission of the Office of the Commissioner of Baseball. The recordings used on today's rebroadcast come from the archives of the Museum of Broadcasting and the Library of Congress. Our special thanks to Jerry Gibson and Ron Simon at the Library and Museum and to Catherine Lim at NBC Records Administration. Our historical advisors are Milt Richman of UPI, and the gentleman sitting next to me today, Stan Martin of NBC Radio Sports. This presentation of World Series Classic
was engineered by Sherry Wagner and Steve Arthur, directed by Wendy Maxwell and Cassandra Pitter, and produced by Guy Ludwig. This is Mel Allen, along with Stan Martin, inviting you to join us next week for more World Series Classics. This has been a presentation of NBC Radio 4.